wait.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to wherever it is you are. It's Eerie House, Oldie Tiny Radio. I'm Dale K from Spook Show here, along with...
I know exactly where I am. I am right here. I'm Dave Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we're here with...
When speaking of music, is it important not to mix your R's and your Z's? It is
and
I, Garbo, play it to you all.
And your Exotica. Anyway,
and my, what?
We've got...
Do we have a caller?
Hello.
What was that?
There's
no.
A damn phone again. we've got plain crazy... Plain crazy, like P-L-A-N-E, as
please.
All of our tales
what?
Are airplane-related adventure stories.
No!
Yeah, we're
okay.
Yeah, we're really crashing this show. Each one of these are about a plane crash.
Really?
Gar may be headed for a coffee crash at this rate.
I'm trying to... Wait. Okay, yes. Blah, blah, yes, they are... Plane related. Took me a while to put it all together, but yes, okay. I agree.
And
I was like, wait,
I had
what?
Forgotten.
Plane?
And I had forgotten when I made the ads that we replaced one of our shows. I had thought that we have tonight a little bit of Lights Out. The Wall.
What?
From the Whistler and High Adventure, but it appears... We do not have Lights Out. We have something else. Oh, yes, we do. It's an Arch Obler play. Which
play.
Is Lights
yeah,
Out.
Arch Obler play.
Which is Lights Out.
Predates
it's
after
pretty
date.
Much a Lights Out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Might as well be. Arch Obler, a great writer for radio and film.
Mm-hmm. I understand he couldn't make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to save his life, but that's me.
Well, that's why he had to get married.
No.
Yeah.
That's why
dog.
He had to get married. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what wives did back then. Make you a sandwich, because men can't make one. We're not smart enough, or we're too damn lazy. Anyway, Arch Obler's plays High Adventure and The Whistler.
Low esteem, High Adventure, Low esteem.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No more coffee for you.
Okay.
Somebody cut
KW's
that man
in
off.
The room.
You are cut off, buddy.
And Fogsbane's here.
Yes, he is. She.
And Bri-Dad, whomever Bri-Dad is.
I prefer to pronounce it Bri-Dad. Bri-Dad, welcome. I believe
Bri-Dad,
you are a new
Bri-Dad?
Listener.
Huh? I don't know.
Hi,
I thought it was Bri-Dad.
Two-Dad and Bri-Dad were here last week, but
hey,
I don't know.
He can always call in. At 646-378-0264, and tell us how the hell to pronounce it. There he is now. It figures we'd have an old rotary phone. You know, you could kill a guy with one of those back then. Those things were heavy.
It was a Bakelite. A Bakelite phone,
if you
yes,
hit
you
somebody,
could.
If you hit somebody with a phone like that today, it would just break the phone. But, man, back then, you'd break somebody's skull.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But you know what's good about the phones today? If you go to a lake and you throw it at a certain angle, that sucker will skip at least 10 times before it drops right in the water and falls. And
I was going to say, that sounds like the voice of experience explaining that one. But, that
woo-hoo!
Was – and see, I find that very satisfying about the old phones. when you're in a heated conversation and you want to slam it, it made a very satisfying ching. You could even make that bell ring, you know?
That's
today,
right.
You'll probably rip your pants trying to do that, putting it back in your pocket. Arr, take that.
So Bri-Dad has gone ahead and told us it's B-R-I-Dad. B-R-I-Dad.
So it's
Bri-Dad. He just wrote it out phonetically in the chat. Bri-Dad.
And I still can't say it.
I'll bet he's a father whose name is like Brian or something.
You didn't tell me reading was required for this program, Dale.
Yeah,
that's right.
And there'll be some math.
It's
later
radio.
Too, you know?
Why do I need glasses? What?
there's going to be math, too, later if you don't behave.
If so, you can see the story,
stop touching your goat. Anyway.
That wasn't the goat.
Oh,
no, no.
We don't want to know what that was then.
No.
Okay.
No, this is the goat.
Ah, stop
touching
your goat.
That's the goat.
That's an extremely
CW's
satisfying
got a,
sound to me.
That poor goat. That goat might have sat on CW's thumb, and that's why it made that sound. We don't know.
So have you guys, huh? Either of you, been on an airplane where there was, like, extremely turbulent weather or anything like that?
Yes.
The last time I was on a plane, I had to get permission from another adult to do it.
To do what?
So bad. You guys know the story. Or Dave does. I had to get permission from another adult on the planet to quantify that I was good enough to be on their plane. I paid for the ticket, and they needed another human being other than myself. They wanted references to get on their plane. Anyway,
welcome to the new world order. I don't.
They also wanted the straight jacket, and you didn't have to put that on, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they did, but you know.
I myself,
was okay.
Especially if you were in costume, I would definitely microscope you before allowing you on my plane.
Wait, what is this costume you speak of? What?
Oh, never mind. I keep forgetting.
Do we have a caller? I don't know. Is that? No. Time to get on with the show, man.
Hello.
Hello. Where's that goat?
I don't know. I've always had a ringing in my ears. This is not unusual. Start with our radio joy tonight?
Some people
tonight?
Call that tinnitus. Yeah.
Where will we start with our radio joy tonight, guys?
To make the pain end, we could start with Art Schoeffler.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing about Art Schoeffler during this time. He was really kind of foreshadowing in our own involvement in World War II and couldn't understand why we weren't getting involved in it earlier. And that's sort of what... What?
No, yes, I just noticed that. The air date's 39, and we didn't get involved until, 41, right?
41, till 41,
yeah.
Right. But he was already doing things like the Laughing Man and things like this that were really pointing out why we should be involved and not let Europe get burned up by Hitler. So who was a kind of a second, you know, who was a dictator? And
yes.
So that's kind of not really the basis for this story, but kind of a background story for it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you're thoroughly confused.
Yes.
Do we have a time for a caller?
I'll bet it's a request for some old-time radio programming.
Wait, is that Hitler?
Yeah, like...
No, we're hanging up on that guy. Sorry. Oh, I can't walk out of the room. I have something to say. Go ahead.
Next week, by the way, we're having our coffee intervention show.
gotta tell you, folks, so far
just
I've only been on tea. I'm only on the tea tonight, so maybe I have to get off the tea wagon.
Yeah, tea has actually more caffeine than coffee, they say.
That's what they say. I'm having a blast.
I can, yeah. Grand total of one of us. No, I'm kidding.
Uh-oh.
We love you, brother. We love you, brother. Arch Oler and his plays. This one, appropriately enough, is entitled Crazy Town. And it was originally broadcast way back in...
With a wonderful air date of May 20, 1939.
So they say. Two guys from Karma.
Art Schoeffler's play.
Karma.
On the winds of the night, we bring you a story whispered in the night.
Let the democratic powers have no illusions. We cannot be intimidated. We are ready. Our manpower is ready. Our youth stands ready. A vital youth that has been tried and tested into the proving grounds, even as our armaments haven't been tested. A youth that understands the meaning of discipline, order, dynamic obedience to the leader and to the state. A youth that laughs with all of us after the weak decadence of democratic liberalism. And you, that lives, dares, does, this time sting you with the wings of courage and daring, bringing the truer civilization and liberty to people who wait for it eagerly and with hope. Yes, I repeat, even now, this kind of sing with the wings of daring and ambition and glory.
Hold up.
Yes, Captain?
Isn't that the village?
No, I don't think so.
It is, I tell you.
But, Captain, the order says the village was won by a water hole. I see no water down there.
What is the difference?
For the orders.
I'm giving your orders. Drop down 500 feet. I don't want to miss the beggars.
As you say, Captain.
They're all the same anyway. What's the difference if it is another village? We need all our petrol to get back. All right. Level off. Hold it. Two little presents and home we go non-stop. I never disappoint a lady.
Should I keep circle?
Of course. Of course. Ah, this is the moment I like, Marlowe. My hand on the release lever. The leader is right. Power is the greatest thing in the world.
I know it is another village.
Marlowe, you're a fool. What difference does it make? The orders were to teach them a lesson. Well, one village is like another. Those beggars down there are the same breed. Hold it steady. The lesson begins. There. And again. Climb!
The order said we were to machine gun the master.
Machine gun what? Two holes in the ground. Home, you old woman. And fast. She's very pretty. And not quite.
And let all the world hear the contribution of our youth to the civilizing forces is one which all history will remember. It is an evidence of the revitalization of great ideals, the true ideals of power and force and the everlasting glory of righteous might. Youth, our glorious youth, flying free in its newfound purpose and nobility, we salute you! We salute you!
Captain. Captain, wake up.
What do you want?
The wireless is not working again.
Huh?
If you were to take over, I will fix it.
All right.
Fog, huh? Marlowe.
Yes, Captain.
When did the fog come up?
While you were asleep.
I do not like fog. Well, haven't you got that wireless going yet?
It is no use.
Huh?
Resistance burned out. There is nothing I can do. The fog grows thicker.
I have eyes, haven't I? Here. You take off.
I was expecting
Shut
that.
Your mouth. Here, take over.
All right. Captain, do you remember the time in the Plaza of Heroes they gave you a medal because...
Stop talking. Put her up high.
Might as well. No clear sky down here. Is this high enough for you, Captain? Or does it make you dizzy?
Are you out of your head?
When the fog grows very thick, you lose your head, eh, Captain?
Shut your mouth. I order it.
I was remembering something else. 6 months ago, when the Minister of War made you the captain, remembering his speech, he said, for courageous skills are flying.
I warn you to stop talking.
For all these months, I wanted to ask you one question, Vittorio. Whose was the skill and whose was the courage? Yours? Mine.
When we are on the ground...
If we are on the ground, it will be with my skill. Mine. Look. The fog grows thicker and
stop
thicker.
Stop.
You can see with your own eyes. Thick fog. Our wireless dead. If I turn the plane over to you now, would you be as brave as the medal says you are?
Close your mouth.
the last time, I tell you. The brave Captain Victoria, who never flies alone.
Shut your mouth.
In the sun, it is your mouth that dares, in the fog, it is mine. A frightening thing, the fog,
eh, Captain?
Like something alive that comes out of the ground and tries to pull flyers down to the hole in hell where they come from.
Is there no way to close your mouth?
Why don't you blast a few holes now through the fog so we can see where we're going?
This is the last time you fly with me, Big Mouth. The last... Mouth.
What?
Huh? Mello, the portrait.
Got the petrol.
What?
Petrol line broken. Close the valve.
Mello. Mello, falling.
Get away from me.
Can't see anything. The fog.
Stop screaming at me, you fool.
Mello, get me down. I don't want to die. I can't.
Mello, John Mark, leave me alone. The fog. I've got to see
you. We're crashing it. I won't die. I can't.
Wait. Look. What I saw. Yes, they are over land.
No, there is nothing in sight.
There is land, I tell you, I saw it.
Yes, I see it. I am safe. I won't die. I will get down. I will.
Down.
Down. We're down.
Yes.
I told you. I told you I would get you out of this. I told you.
Mano, ahead. The wall. Stop. The wall, stop!
Victor. Victoria.
What?
It's Mallow. Where are you? So dark. Oh. I see you. Bed next to me.
Mallow.
Victoria. You all right?
My leg broke.
Well. Oh. My own pain is less now.
Oh, don't talk. Help.
No, Victoria. This honor is mine as well as yours.
Huh?
My legs, too.
You lie. You're all right. You want me to be in pain.
Stop it.
Jealous of my honors. You
Stop
always
it.
Were. You...
Stop it! Who wants to listen to you? I want to know where I am. I want to know how badly our ship was hurt when we got here. For long, I was unconscious.
Yeah, I have the pleasure of answering your questions, good gentlemen.
Un, Mara. Who's there?
I don't know. So dark. My name, gentlemen, is Frederick Gibbons. Doctor of medicine.
Doctor?
Doctor?
Doctor. My legs, the pain.
The pain is quite secondary, believe me. But you must stop it.
At once. I order it.
Order?
Yes, order. You don't know who I am. I'm Captain Victor.
Wait. I assure you I know your identities quite well, good gentleman.
What do you mean?
Your identification papers are quite in order. And now, a little more light, perhaps?
Yes. I'll see you.
If you will pardon me.
No, stay. The pain.
Shut
my
mouth, will you? How can he help us until he brings light?
But the pain.
Pain. Did you expect to fall out of the clouds and wake up with the bands playing and a couple of women at your side?
I dare you.
You're a fool, Victoria. Miracle happens to us. Smashing head on and then coming out of it with no more than broken bones. I tell you, it is a miracle.
Hmm? Lights. Ah. Ah. Of course, only simple lanterns, but quite adequate, you will agree.
Doctor, whatever your name is, I am Captain of Aviation, an active duty for the commander.
I told you, I know.
Then you know your duty. Set my legs. Do you hear me?
What is your business, Captain?
But you said you knew who I was. My identification papers. You said
yes, I said I knew who you were. But what is your business, gentlemen?
Aviators. I'm captain.
Yes, a captain. What is your business, Captain?
He wants to know what we do, Victor.
What is your business, gentlemen?
What is any aviator's business?
To fly. But while you stand there talking, my leg broken. Fix them.
Did you stop to fix the bones, Captain? After you dropped the bombs on them? What do you know of that? Your plane was smashed quite badly, gentlemen, but not completely. Yes, there were two miracles.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
That the crash did not kill either of you, and that one small messenger of your civilization that was strung to the belly of your plane did not blast you to death. It fell to the ground undamaged, unbroken, all of its explosive virility quite intact inside of its metallic loins. Poetic, that, eh?
One of my bombs.
Yes. One of your bombs. Quite unhurt.
But I'm hurt. Do you hear me? Fix my leg. Stop the pain.
But why? We here are like you, gentlemen. If bodies are broken, if pain is given, we go our calm way. We do not stop. Good day, gentlemen.
Wait. Marlow, make him wait.
Wait, Doctor.
Doctor, come back. You can't leave me. Come back. I'm hurt. In pain. Help me. Are you crazy?
Yes, you are. Yes, indeed. I am.
Do you get the impression Arch Obler had something to say about World War II there?
Had something to say about something.
There's
a message in there.
He, a lot of his stories had messages in
they
Lights
did.
Out.
Yes.
In his films as well.
Yep. Prolific and amazing writer. Again, Rod Serling thought, except for two people, Cromwell, I think, Norman Corwin and Arch Obler, radio was a complete waste because they just didn't really experiment and explore the radio. Now, I don't feel that's quite true because there's a lot of great radio out there, but those two certainly did stand out as some of radio's greatest writers.
Yep. And Arch Obler could range from drama to horror to science fiction. He dabbled in all of it. Much like
comedy. He wrote that Adam and Eve sketch that Don Ameche and Mae West did that got it kicked off of radio for like 30 years.
How did he walk away unscathed from all that? She was just
actually
the
actress. They all did. The fact is, they were after Mae West.
Yeah.
And they didn't like her promoting her sexuality and things like that. But when that Adam and Eve sketch came out, we played that here on Erie House.
Yeah.
When that came out, it just gave them and ministers more ammunition. But Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy didn't get harmed from this. Neither did Arch Obler, and neither did Don Ameche. They all went on to have good and even radio careers. So. What it was, they were targeting Mae West.
Yeah. Gee, to think Hollywood was worried about decency.
I know. Today on broadcast television, well, on television that's out there, I'm blown away by what is given to us to see as viewers in these days and times.
Yeah.
Just
what
a radical change
acceptable
from,
his,
from today
yeah, what,
to the
what
70s.
Is considered, right. What is considered acceptable is way different than even what broadcast television can still get away with. If they're broadcasting in open air, they can't get away with it. But if they're on a cable or streaming format, they can.
Right.
Yep.
So many things are now on that. Not media, that platform. They get away with that. I was in the Navy, and it said that nobody cusses more than a sailor. Well, they make me blush, so I don't know.
With their language or how else?
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Everything.
Yep.
All of it. Especially those
Arch Obler, who penned one of my favorite films, as I've mentioned probably a kajillion times on this show, and if you've never seen it, you've got to see Five. F-I-V-E, Five. A very good story and very Arch Oblery.
Does it have anything to do with the hand?
Plus, there's a Frank Lloyd Wright house that was used as a good part of the scenery for the story. Yep.
Well, architectural value tossed in there.
Absolutely. That movie's got a little bit of everything. It's one of the first post-apocalyptic stories as well.
It is. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
No hands?
In film. Five.
I was just figuring digits, five digits, a hand.
No, it's five people.
1950, I think. 1950, maybe 51.
Right about
there,
yeah.
There's a five. Okay.
Yeah.
He only did a handful of movies.
Yeah.
All of them.
He also did one of the first 3D movies, I think, right, Dave?
He did, and he used it without using special cameras or something, and it worked great. And he asked the studios, why don't shoot all of them like that? He says, hey, what we have works. We don't need that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Who knows where
was that a jab at me there, Dave? Because you said only a handful.
Oh,
I'm still trying to find, okay, five. No, five star. No, that's not it.
F-I-V-E.
Let me go.
Well, no, not the digit five is what I'm saying. Not the numerical expression.
Oh, no, I wrote five. Great Britain distributed. Let me look at this one. This should just pop right out. No.
There's no big stars in it. In fact, I think it was better because of that. It made the who this happened to seem more ordinary instead of overly glamorous or something.
Now, I just jumped onto the Internet Movie Database to find this thing really quick, and that which should pop out does not. I'll keep looking.
Trust me, it exists. It's an under-discussed film, to be sure.
Hey, yeah.
Why do these Germans sound Italian, Gar said in the chat earlier? Because I think they were trying to – I think they might have been trying to say both factions of the Axis.
Right.
Or
well,
two of the three factions.
I just noticed
that
they sound very Italian for a Jewish guy. I was like, what? Okay.
Why can't there be Italian-Jewish guys?
Italian-German guys. That's.
Oh.
There
well,
could
yeah,
be
that's...
Italian-Jewish guys. I don't know.
Yeah.
He could have
that
a Wiener Schnitzel.
Do you have matzo balls or do you have the...
He could have Wiener Schnitzel wrapped in his pizza. There you go.
Right, exactly. You know.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Did someone say Parma? I don't know.
Sauerkraut pizza. Yeah, boy. Now you're talking.
Sauerkraut pizza.
As we move on to part two of Crazy Town from Arch Oler's Plays. The exciting conclusion.
All right, Victor. All right. It grows less and less. Pain cannot go on forever. My legs are quite numb now. Yours will become that way, too.
That devil.
Strange day, this, huh? You and I were born of the devil to smash up and have a crazy man come to our rescue.
What time is it?
Time? Who knows?
That crazy old fool! Why does he want to
do not stop asking me why I can't talk. All night I have been thinking those whys, and I know less than when I started. The man is crazy, that's all. When one is crazy, there are no whys.
You can't keep me here. Not me. I'll kill him.
Wait. Listen.
People.
Yes. Must be a street right below the window.
Get to the window, Marlowe. Get help.
I throw something through the glass. Yes, the lamp.
No, no, stop.
Huh?
You'll bring the crazy devil up here.
That's our only chance.
No, 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 no. He'll kill us. Do not throw it.
I will.
Skip it?
Yes, you did. Good man, oh, good. Now, someone will come up here to help us. And that old devil, I will have him put away where he was. Huh? Listen. I throw something through the glass, and everything below becomes quiet.
Why should that be?
Quiet. Listen.
Like someone raising a ladder against the wall.
Yes.
Someone is coming. They're
left me. Why a ladder?
You think it's the
yes.
crazy?
You must have heard the glass break. Climbing up here to laugh at us.
No, it can't be him. My legs. I've got to have help. Daniel, I'm screaming.
Stop that. Look. Head coming up. Who?
No. No, it's not the crazy one. A girl.
Yes.
Come in, girl. Come in.
We need your help.
Yes, help. Call the police. Have it. I am the aviator.
Come in, guy. We will not hurt you.
Don't sit there on the windowsill and stare at us, you fool. Don't you understand? I'm Captain Victoria.
Wait, Victoria. Wait. You frighten her. Come closer, girl. Closer. Look, my watch. I will give you this watch.
Please, you will give it to me?
Yes, of course you will. Give it to her, Marlowe. Here, girl.
Pretty. You have other pretty things for me?
Yes. Here. Rings. My rings. There. Take them. Get help. Get me out of here.
Pretty. Oh, pretty.
You simple little fool. Try to understand. Get me help.
Get me out of here.
Pretty things. I like pretty things.
We'll get you plenty of pretty things. Cover you with them. Just go back the way you came and get help for me. Quickly.
I had so many pretty things.
Yes, but hurry, girl. Go quickly. Get me help.
I want more pretty things.
In my pocket, huh? Let's see. Hurts or the move. I have nothing. Marlo, you give her...
Oh, you know I cannot move.
Pretty wings.
Yes, the wings on my tunic. You can have them. Here.
Pretty.
Now go. Do you hear? Go get help.
Will they take these away from me, too?
What is she talking about?
I don't know.
I have so many pretty things. They took everything away. Oh, my pretty things. It dropped from the sky. And when it was gone, everything was gone. Everything was gone.
Stop crying. Who took what away from you?
From the sky. From the sky.
This one's crazy too.
Now, good gentlemen, it is time again to talk.
I'll kill.
You know, that's why I like you, Mallow.
Well?
Your captain is so overly dramatic. Kill you, he says to me. It is quite foolish and unnecessary, don't you think so?
You devil, you keeping me here, not getting help. What are you trying to do? Cripple me for life.
I am doing nothing.
What are you going to do with us?
Money. I'll get you money. Just get me out of here. Money.
In this community, those silly little pieces of paper and metal are quite useless.
Ah, you're crazy.
True enough. But haven't either of you discovered the greater truth?
Truth? What truth?
That everyone in this community is crazy.
Everyone. Crazy?
Oh, yes, indeed.
It cannot be.
But it is.
No, you're the only one.
How many times must I say it? This is my community. and we are all quite mad.
Where are we?
Or normal, all depending on the viewpoint.
Where is this place?
That's my little secret.
Secret? What do you mean?
Quite a long way from your civilization, and a high wall circles us. Remember, your airplane crashed into it.
Oh.
You see, my dear gentleman, a long time ago, the people of what was once known as the normal world decided that I wasn't quite normal, so they were going to put me away. But I escaped them. Oh, quite cleverly. And I decided to make a world of my own. That is, a world normal to me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's simple. In a community where all men are mad, none are mad. Understand?
Get us out of here.
Quiet, Victor. Listen to him.
Yes, listen to me. What was I saying? Oh, yes. So I discovered this place, and I settled here. But after a while, I grew quite lonely. And I thought to myself, why shouldn't I find others like myself? People the... again, I use the phrase. People the so-called normal world called abnormal. But it was quite difficult to find enough of them and to get them to come to my little utopia. Until you fixed it.
We, madman? What have we to do with you?
I mean you and your kind. Remarkable how many people in this world became abnormal as soon as your sort began to... What is the word you use? Enlighten... Oh, yes. Began to enlighten the world.
Marlowe, make him stop talking.
No, I want to hear him.
Yes, hear me out. Remarkable how many people became like I am as soon as the enlightenment, brutality, and conquest, and domination, and above all, the enlightenment of flying bombs came upon them. Oh, I soon had more than enough candidates for my little community. Yes, indeed.
You can't keep us here.
No, not me. You can't.
But you surprise me, good gentleman. This is the ideal place for you.
What does he mean?
I mean that here in my little crazy town, we live and love and kill as our fancy strikes, without even the necessity of slogans and catchphrases with which to quiet the conscience. Oh, you'll want to stay with us, gentlemen.
Not me.
No, I won't stay here, you crazy old devil.
But are you so different, gentlemen?
I'm sane.
And so am I.
But your business, Captain. Is it sane to fly the skies, to bring death to creatures made in your own image? To kill women and children?
We do our duty.
No man has a duty beyond what he knows is right. And since you do what you do, it must be because you believe it is right to kill and destroy, with no more reason than the victim of ambitious, power-mad men. So I assure you, gentlemen, you are one of us. And so you will stay.
No, you can't keep me here.
Against our will.
Yes, your legs will mend, so you must want to stay. For if you go and give away our little secret, that would be most unfortunate for the rest of us. Oh, it's very definite, good gentlemen. You must want to stay.
Not in a madhouse.
Not me.
Gentlemen, good gentlemen, you make me weary and angry. Explain. I tell you, you and yours are like us. The Prince of Normal Men said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And you say, blessed are they that take with force. So how can you be normal?
If I had a gun.
A gun. Now, that's another thing. The Prince of the Normal said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And you say, blessed are the warmakers. Now, that proves that you're like us.
Stop it!
Get us out of here!
He said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. But you are the persecutors, good gentlemen, so you are one of us. I welcome you. We all welcome you. Come in, ladies and gentlemen.
Sir? Who are they?
Who are they?
They are like you, the nobility of unreason. They have come to welcome you, gentlemen.
Hello. What? So dark. Leaving it. For hours.
The devil in hell, what is he up to?
Shut your mouth. If I go crazy, it will be you driving me to it.
You know I'm a crazy one. Bringing us here and leaving us. Planning our death. I know it. Marlo, tell me. What are they up to?
I don't know. I don't know.
What's that?
What?
Someone came into the room.
No. No one.
Listen. I hear.
Who's there? Who's there?
Woman.
Yes. Who are you? What do you want?
Victor.
What is she saying?
I don't know. She... What is it? What? Something is wrong.
I can't see anything so dark.
Oh, no. I'm not afraid of her. The child. The child in her arms.
Oh.
Come closer, woman.
What do you want her for?
She can help us. Closer. Woman, closer. Woman, stop mourning to that child and listen. Listen. Help us get out of here, and we'll give you money. We'll give...
Victoria, what?
In her arms. Look.
I can't twist her on my leg.
Woman, get away. Get away.
Victoria, what is it?
In
what?
Her arms.
You said the child.
No. Woman, get away.
Tell me what?
Bomb. Here, bomb.
Bomb. You have gone mad.
No. Now see for yourself, see.
Oh.
The bomb he told us sent from our train without exploding.
Who are you, woman? Get out of here with that thing. Get out.
Get out with that woman. Get out. You'll set it off.
No, wait. Wait, reason with her. Woman, what are you saying? Why do you carry that bomb?
Baby. My baby.
Baby. No, it's a bomb. Do you hear me? A bomb.
Baby.
Put it down. If it goes off, it will kill you.
My baby. My baby. Something fell from the sky with her.
Victoria. She's crazy too.
Oh, this is my baby now.
No.
My little baby.
No.
Baby.
Don't touch the percussion head. Oh. It will go off.
Marlowe.
Get up. Take it away from her. My legs.
Baby.
I can't move.
Oh.
No. Don't touch it, woman. Don't. Oh.
Tonight's play, Crazy Town, was especially written for radio by Arch Obler and featured Edmund O'Brien, Charlotte Manson, Paul Stewart, John Brown, and Betty Kane.
Here you go with a very, very interesting tale from Arch Obler. I thought it was
that had John Brown in it, Dale. He's your Broadway and... the friendly undertaker.
Digger.
Digger O'Dell.
There we go.
Yep. And here's something else you didn't know. Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story with harmonica.
Caller 7, it was not easy to make this funny, but here we go. Waking up dead can't be half as scary as understanding it. And my bunger.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
What? My God. Go wash out my mouth.
That's a great sound clip. That's a great sound clip, Dale.
It's a great. It has so many uses, so many practical uses.
Wait a second. It was a great sound clip, but that wasn't half a bad moral either, thank you.
It was not.
No, it was not.
It was a great moral.
It was.
As morals go.
As morals go, that one went. Very well.
Yes. Thank gosh. Thank gosh.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. Waking up dead would be just waking up. I mean, I could have woken up this morning and been dead and gone, man, I wonder what's for breakfast. It's not until you realize it that it gets weird. Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess.
Yeah, sure.
All brought on by a plane crash. All brought on by a plane crash.
Man.
And that's our theme tonight.
Yeah.
Danger in the air.
We have a whole lot of radio, don't we?
We do.
We do have a whole lot of radio.
We do. I'm going to put that over there.
A plethora of radio.
A plethora.
A plethora is more.
A phone
yeah,
call
is
worth.
More than one. Yeah, plethora is
a
more
plethora
than one.
A plethora is more than one, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
At least around here it is.
Wow.
You buy that?
I don't know.
Control your sound effects.
I apologize.
Welcoming back GGSI Paper. It's been a long time.
Yes.
Chat's nice and full tonight. CW, of course, our cohort, our partner in slime, if you will. Fogsbane,
wow.
As usual.
Wait,
hi,
what?
Hi. GGSI Paper. And Bri Dad hit the skids, man. He took off on us.
Bri Dad was like, you said my name wrong. I'm going.
Yeah, maybe.
Know.
Who knows? If he's easily offended, well, I'm sorry.
Well, wrong place. Wrong planet, wrong world. Don't watch
yeah.
broadcast TV. Yes.
And always watch radio.
Always watch radio.
Always watch your
radio.
You never know what it's going to
do. Started first here.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Gar?
I'm doing
outside
okay.
Of your internet. Outside
all
of your
my
internet.
Limbs are
yeah.
on. I had an MRI this week, which leads us into our next amazing radio high adventure. The Cruel Sky.
How the hell did that... You just killed all my future segues with that in one shot. That was awesome. High
tonight's,
adventure. High adventure.
Yes, tonight's Erie Health Radio's brought to us by T. Sorry, go ahead.
Wow. Okay.
And too much of it.
We're going back to South Africa for another exciting tale. This one is a very interesting tale on the plane crash.
Is that what SA meant after this?
Say what?
It says SA after it for South Africa.
Yes, for South Africa, yes, yes.
I thought it was Asian spinach. I wasn't sure. I don't know.
Well, you know, they always put their dates backwards. They're good for their spinach backwards if you did that, yeah.
Yeah.
At least it's to the spinach when I eat me spinach.
Who, Olive, what are you doing over there?
Oh, Popeye.
Popeye.
Oh, dear. Oh, me.
Oh,
dear.
Gosh. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Yeah, it's time for some more radio, Dale.
I think so.
And less tea.
I'd be happy to as soon as we could dig up an original broadcast date.
Ooh, that's me. August 6th. What? 1983? Really?
Yep.
Yeah,
right, Dave?
South Africa
really?
Was doing radio in
really?
83.
Oh, that's right. Yep. They're later. Never mind.
Yep.
An aircraft emergency at high altitude. This is tonight's story, The Cruel Sky, by Graham Lonsdale.
Looks like we're in for a bad storm.
You can say that again. Just look at the sky out there.
Chucky 1 to Riverbridge Control Tower. Do you read me? Over.
That's the call we're expecting from those two jets from Brown Hill Air Force Base.
Have you got them on the scope?
Yeah, they're approaching on P-51, 50,000 feet at Mach 0.8.
No other traffic. All clear.
Riverbridge Control to Chucky 1. 5 square. Over.
Chucky 1 for flight 303, Brown Hill to Riverbridge. We have contact with your beacon. Permission requested for descent out of military flight path P-51 and approach to final. Over.
Riverbridge Control to Jockey 1. You're cleared for descent and landing on runway 2. Wind speed at ground level is force 1. Hardly moving the sock. I think we're having the lull before the storm hits us. How's the weather up there? Over.
We're experiencing tremendous turbulence. Heavy lightning. We could sure do with some coffee when we get down.
Roger, Jockey 1. Riverbridge Control out.
Jockey 1.
I'll bet they could do with some coffee. They'll be sure glad to get out of the turbulence up there.
You know, a few years back, I was flying in a trainer through a bad storm. One moment, we were going along normally, and the next, we were upside down.
Uh-huh.
The weather was tossing us around like a cork in a rough sea.
Yes, I know what it's like. It can be pretty hairy.
Yeah.
Well, in a few minutes, those two will start descending, and they'll be home and dry.
Sure.
Now what? That's Jockey 1's partner. Riverbridge Control to Jockey 2. Over.
I've just been in a collision with Jockey 1.
What? Collision?
There's massive turbulence up here. I have control of my aircraft, but Jockey 1 is going down.
Oh, wow.
I can't raise him on the radio.
Riverbridge to Jockey 1. Do you read me? Over.
On the radio, there's a bleep going straight down.
Yeah.
He's in a dive. Jockey 2 is straight and level on P-51.
Are you receiving me, Jockey 1? Riverbridge Control to Jockey 1. Over.
Jockey 2.
Did you see him eject from the aircraft?
Are you kidding? We are at 50,000 feet. And Jockey 1 isn't wearing a pressure suit. If he ejects immediately, he's dead.
Can you make it all right to Riverbridge?
Yeah, I think so. My instruments are reading normal.
I'll start an alert.
Stand by for runway emergency. This is not an exercise. Repeat, this is not an exercise. Emergency landing on runway 2. Emergency landing on runway 2.
What's going on?
Afternoon, Colonel Yelton. We were expecting two jet fighters from Brown Hill Air Force Base. Flight 303. We made normal radio and radar contact with them at 20-30 hours.
I see. And then?
They were a military flight path P-51. Their altitude was 50,000 feet. Speed, Mach 0.8.
Uh-huh.
We cleared them for approach and landing.
And then what happened?
Well, it seems the turbulence in the storm caused them to collide.
What? Holy
yeah,
Moses.
Their codes are Jockey 1 and Jockey 2. Jockey 2 has retained control of his aircraft and is making his final now.
The other aircraft has crashed and went straight down.
Well, did the collision take place at 50,000 feet?
Yes, sir.
Jockey 2 thinks there was an explosion aboard the other machine immediately after the collision.
Well, did Jockey 1 eject?
We don't know yet, sir, but it appears he wasn't wearing a pressure suit.
Who says so?
Jockey 2.
Well, as soon as he's landed, I want to talk to him,
yes,
provided
sir.
He's not a hospital case.
Yes, sir.
Have you got a fix on where the other aircraft has come down?
It went into open country west of here. A helicopter is on its way there now.
If the pilot survived the collision, but if his aircraft was out of control at 50,000 feet, if he have to eject, and he's not wearing a pressure suit...
His chances of surviving aren't too good.
No, they aren't. And he's falling through a raging storm. How are you feeling, son?
I'm all right, thank you, sir. Just a bit shaken. The doctor checked me over. He says I'll do.
Now, you said Jockey 1 started falling out of control.
The whole thing happened in an instant. There seemed to be, an explosion as our aircraft touched. I think his motor blew.
I
saw pieces of wreckage fly off his center fuselage.
Now, if his motor went inoperative, he'd have had no hydraulic or electric power. For a start, he wouldn't be able to move the aircraft's control column.
It looked to me like he was falling out of control, sir.
How long is it since the collision?
Three quarters of an hour, sir.
If Jockey 1 ejected at high altitude, he'd be in free fall until 10,000 feet,
mm-hmm.
when his parachute would open automatically.
Well, his body's rate of descent in free fall would be about 10,000 feet per minute.
Yes, sir.
And after the parachute opened, he'd be reduced to about 1,000 feet per minute.
By now, he'd be on the ground somewhere.
If he ejected very soon after the collision, the chances are that the high altitude may have killed him. All he was wearing was a light flying suit, gloves, shoes, and a helmet.
The outside temperature at 50,000 feet today would be around 70 degrees below freezing.
Yeah, and he'd start suffering from frostbite straight away.
Plus the problem of sudden decompression. He was 10 miles up.
Maybe he was injured in the collision and didn't eject.
If he rode the aircraft down, he's dead. For the moment, let's presume he ejected. And he'd probably have done so very soon after he realized his aircraft was out of control.
You know, as he ejected from that aircraft, he'd be hurtling through the freezing air at 500 miles per hour.
He'd lose consciousness.
Well, maybe not.
Even if he lost consciousness, his parachute would open automatically at 10,000 feet and break his fall.
Yeah, but if he started his fall at 50,000 feet, he'd need oxygen. He was on 100% oxygen in the cockpit.
Well, provided he retained consciousness, he could use the oxygen mask connected to an oxygen bottle in his parachute pack. It'd give him about 5 minutes supply on his way down.
Uh-huh.
But he'd have to be awake to put the mask over his face.
He'd be falling at high speed, 10,000 feet per minute. He'd be subject to powerful gravity forces. He may have been injured when the aircraft collided. He would certainly have been injured by sudden decompression if he ejected at 50,000 feet. The question is, would he have the strength left to get the oxygen mask over his face?
Without that oxygen, even if he survived the rest of the descent, he'd get brain damage. The brain has got to have sufficient oxygen.
Oh, this doesn't sound as though he's got much chance.
It would help if the storm wasn't going on and we could start a full search operation immediately.
Can you imagine what a clap of thunder like that sounds like when you're falling through the clouds?
Yeah, I suppose it could be enough to burst your eardrums.
Well, he was wearing his helmet. That should deaden the sound a bit.
Yes, probably. But all the same, the vibration must be tremendous. Falling through the sort of storm that's going on up there would be horrific. The thunder, the lightning, violent winds, on top of the cold and decompression.
If he ejected safely and his parachute opened automatically at 10,000 feet, be falling through torrential rain. The rain plus up and down drafts of wind could collapse a parachute.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if a man could drown up there.
Drown? Is that possible?
I'm not sure, but he could start gulping in water. He wasn't falling through a light shower, you know.
Now listen, I've never met anybody who's parachuted from 50,000 feet without a pressure suit, through a tremendous storm on top of it. But we are going to think positively about this. Maybe the rescue helicopter will have good news.
X-3-1 to Riverbridge Control Tower. Do you read me? Over.
Ah, that's the rescue helicopter calling in. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Riverbridge Control Tower to X-ray 1. 5 square. Over.
I'm at the scene of the Jockey 1 crash. 1 mile east of Plan River Curve.
Now, how does it look? Over.
Scattered wreckage. Do you know if the pilot ejected? Over.
Negative. We don't know yet. How's the weather where you are? Over.
Lashing rain. Just after we got here, the wind whipped up to force 7. We've secured the chopper to the ground with cables.
The Met report states that the storm will blow over in an hour or so.
Harrison, tell him to commence an air search for the pilot when the weather permits.
Yes, sir. Riverbridge to X-ray 1. Orders from Colonel Yalton. Start an air search for the pilot as soon as the weather permits. Over.
Roger, Riverbridge. Will do.
Riverbridge control tower out.
I'm surprised the chopper found the wreckage so quickly in this weather.
Well, they must have come across the wreckage before the storm deteriorated. I've got 2 further helicopters on standby. As soon as this infernal storm passes, we'll mount a full search operation.
I'd like to come along if that's all right with you, sir.
You feel up to it?
Yes, sir.
Well, we won't be able to leave for at least another half hour or so. See the doctor again? Tell him you want to fly as an observer in the rescue search. If he says okay, I'll take you with me.
Well, I feel fine, sir.
Talk to the doctor.
Yes, sir.
Well, he's game for a man who's just survived a mid-air collision.
He's worried about his friend. Wouldn't you be in his place?
I think the rain's easing off a bit out there. I was thinking it.
Excuse me.
Riverbridge Control Tower.
There's a break in the clouds over there. See it?
Yes. It won't be much longer, and the storm will have passed.
It was a particularly bad one. Must have been hell up there.
Yes, sir. Hell's the word for it.
Yeah. If the man we've got to find has reached the ground alive, he's going to need medical attention urgently.
Yeah, I got it. Right, thanks.
Who's on the phone?
Operations room. They've heard from the Highway Patrol of Plan River Curve. Police have found aircraft wreckage on the road.
Was anybody hurt when it came down?
Fortunately not. No injuries or damage to property.
Apart from
the road, that is. They say the storm over there had been freaky. For a few minutes, the wind was blowing a full gale. Force 10. It appears Mother Nature went off ahead for a while.
Good grief.
But as I said, it only lasted a few minutes. When it eased, the police started searching the road and found pieces of aircraft wreckage.
The road is some distance from where X-Way 1 has found the main body of wreckage.
Yeah.
It seems like the aircraft was breaking up as it came down.
At the time of the collision, Jockey 2 said he thought there was an explosion.
Or could the police give a section ID on the wreckage?
Yeah. They said it looked like parts of a wing.
It seems less and less likely the pilot will be found alive.
Listen, don't write him off yet, Harrison. The resilience of the human body never ceases to amaze me.
But we're talking about a man who may have ejected at 50,000 feet without a pressure suit, into racking decompression, lack of oxygen, viciously low temperatures, and a raging storm.
I'm aware of that.
Can the human body withstand that sort of treatment?
I don't know what the odds are.
I'd say very small at the most.
Agreed, Harrison. But don't underestimate the human machine. Until we've got proof to the contrary, we are going to assume the pilot is alive and waiting to be rescued. And that's an order.
And that's an order.
What the heck is contrary?
It's like the helicopter, you know, that he's had.
I guess so.
They're trying to sound very American, and they're getting by with it for the most part, but doesn't always follow through.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
No, he's quite there.
Dave, how's that goat?
The goat? Let me see. How you doing, buddy? Yeah.
There you go.
He was just enjoying the show. He was hoping for a hard landing
My goat is ill.
You better get your goat.
Your goat is a female goat. You see, that was the mating call. There.
Get your goat checked.
I think your goat needs some more batteries, man.
Or oil
that
or
too.
Something.
Yeah.
Couldn't need
Let
a
me
good
call
greasing.
The doctor.
Needs a good greasing.
Hello? Anyway. We having fun
grease,
yet? I hope so.
Grease your goat.
Nope. I ain't touching that one. Nope. I
yeah,
am
me
not
either.
Greasing my goat.
Yes.
Yes.
Anywho, that's quite a high adventure we got there. I didn't know there was a low adventure, but
yeah, exactly. Where are you guys? There we are.
Well,
okay.
Those ones don't make the airwaves.
Yeah.
Yes. They mentioned windsocks. Did you hear that? Or
yes.
Did you see that? Did you hear that? Yeah.
Well, it was hard to see on radio, but yeah.
It is. Yeah.
They had windsocks.
I came up with Windsocks R Us. It's a special South African store. Where you get all your wind socks.
And the one with the backward R, right?
Yeah, that one.
It was a failing business. They only had one airport.
Yeah, hello. Wow.
But they gave it the old college try.
They did. It sounded something like this. Come get your wind sock. Okay,
get
anyway.
Get your wind socks now.
Get
them while they're
hot. At the when you hear the cow, come get your windsock. Yes.
Yes.
Which is better than. Oh, we got everything going on over here. Less tea, right, Dale?
a lot less tea, please.
Lot less tea. I got half a glass going
there
on.
There will be an intervention, I promise you.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, send over Wanda. Send over
Rwanda.
We'll take care of that.
Rwanda?
Yeah.
Who's Rwanda?
No, Wanda. Not Luanda. Wanda. Wanda. Yeah.
Rwanda is a country. Luanda
yes.
is a person.
Isn't that where that special metal comes from? Ultimatium or something? No. Adamantium.
Adamantium.
Yeah, from Rubawanda.
When you rub it, it sings, don't drink, don't smoke. It's adamantium.
Yeah, we're not rubbing nothing. We're not greasing nothing. We're not rubbing nothing.
A lot of radio. A lot of radio.
Oh, gosh.
That's our car.
He needs some help, man. You need to put out of his misery or help it, man.
GGSI paper, you're back just in time. Welcome. And we'll wrap up High Adventure. The cruel, cruel sky.
In a helicopter.
X-ray 2 calling Riverbridge Control Tower. Do you read me? Over.
Riverbridge Control Tower to X-ray 1. 5 square. Over.
I've joined the search pattern with helicopters X-ray 1 and X-ray 3.
Roger, X-ray 2.
At least the rain stopped.
Yeah. Visibility's pretty good now. Keep your eyes peeled.
Well, he may have spread his parachute on the ground as a marker.
Not unless he came down in a tree.
Let's hope not. With the wind carrying him along, he could hit the tree at 50 miles per hour.
Fortunately, there aren't many trees around here.
I hope this is the area where he came down. The storm may have carried him miles away, 20 or 30 miles, or well, even more. Who knows?
It's like looking for a needle in a haystack. But even a needle in a haystack will be found if you look carefully enough.
And provided we're looking in the right haystack.
We'll soon be up against another problem, too.
Well, what's that, sir?
It's going to be nightfall soon. If we don't find him in the next hour or so, we'll have to call off the search until daylight tomorrow.
Yeah, but if he's still alive, he'll be in need of hospital attention as quickly as possible.
I know.
To think that he may have survived that terrible descent, just to die alone out there in the wild somewhere during the night.
We've got to find him. Now keep swinging those binoculars.
Helicopters yet?
No, nothing. And it'll be dark in a few minutes.
Yeah.
They'll have to call it off till tomorrow.
Well, maybe when they... I'll get it.
Control tower. Yeah. Yeah, I see. We'll let them know. Thanks. That was a report passed on from the team collecting wreckage at the crash site.
What do they say?
They've managed to find most of the main bits and pieces from the cockpit section of the fuselage. But there's no sign of the ejection seat or the body of the pilot.
Oh. Then it looks like he did eject.
Yeah, it seems so. I'll pass the information on to Colonel Yalton. Riverbridge Control Tower to X-ray 2. Do you read me? Over.
X-ray 2, 5 square, over.
A report from the crew at the crash site states that the main sections of the cockpit have been recovered. There was no sign of the ejection seat or the pilot. Over.
So he made it out of the aircraft.
He must be down somewhere.
We've got a few more minutes of light, and then we'll have to return to base. I'll let you know when we turn back. Over.
Roger, X-ray 2. Riverbridge out.
You know, if we're realistic about this, the chances are the pilot's lying dead in his parachute somewhere.
You heard what Yalton said earlier this afternoon. Until the body's found, we're going to believe the man's still alive.
Well, that's like sitting at the fireplace on Christmas night waiting for Santa Claus. It just isn't going to happen.
Why are you so set against considering that the pilot may have survived?
Well, I'll tell you why. Some years ago, I did a stint at Hurton Air Base, where they've got a high-altitude research institute. I know what'll happen to somebody who ejects at 50,000 feet without a pressure.
Are you saying you know of an actual case?
Well, no, not exactly, but I've seen simulated tests.
That's just theory.
Not entirely. Medical research has proved under simulated conditions that a man without a pressure suit at such high altitude would almost certainly be killed.
Theoretically.
Listen to me for a minute, will you? Why do you think pressure suits were designed in the first place? And the pilot Yalton is looking for wasn't wearing one.
Sure, but still...
Well, nothing. I know what I'm talking about. Listen, do you want to know what really happens to a man who leaves an aircraft at 50,000 feet without a pressure suit?
I can see you're going to tell me anyway.
Well, for a start, the pain from sudden decompression would be excruciating. A medieval torture rack couldn't compare with
it. I believe you, but...
Your eyes would feel like they'd been ripped out, and you'd start bleeding through the ears, the nose, and the mouth. Your stomach would expand like a balloon.
I said I'd take your word for it.
In addition to the horror I've just mentioned, the temperature up there was 70 degrees below freezing.
plus the shock of ejecting from the aircraft and hurtling along at 500 miles an hour, plus lack of oxygen if you couldn't beat the G-forces and get your oxygen mask on.
Knock it off, will you?
You wanted to know why I don't think that pilot got to the ground alive. Well, now I've told you.
X-ray 2 calling Riverbridge Control Tower. Over.
Riverbridge Control Tower to X-ray 2. Fight square. Over.
The light's gone. I'm bringing the formation home. X-ray 1, 2, and 3 will approach along the north-south helicopter corridor. Our ETA approximately 60 minutes. Over.
Roger, X-ray 2.
So they've had to pack it in.
They were only looking for a dead man. Believe me, I'm sure of it.
Boy. Ah, that was quite a storm we just had. Never known anything like it around here. I guess we were lucky to keep the roof on the place. Ah, I better check over the place to make sure. Sure, that gutter looks like it needs some fixing. Well, let's take a look around the side of the house. Come on, boy. Now, what are you barking at? There's nothing out there in the dark, stupid dog. Come here, will you? There's one thing I can't abide by, and that's a dog barking at nothing. All right, all right. Let me sweep the flashlight around a bit. Darn if I can see anything for you to be barking at. There's nothing out there, boy. Seems like you're barking at something up that tree. There's no cats around here. Well, let's take a closer look, shall we? Maybe you've seen a snake in the tree, huh? Well, you just keep away from it. You mind your business, and the snake of mine is. Now then, what's it about this tree that you find so mighty interesting, huh?
Oh, help me.
What was that?
Up here in the tree.
Oh, bless my soul. There's a voice calling from the tree.
Up here, overhead.
Hey, let me get my flashlight settled on you, fella. Land sakes, it's a man dangling by one of them parachute contraptions.
Help me.
I heard something on the radio about a plane crash. Was that your plane, fella?
I'm hurt. Please, get me out of this tree.
I'm sorry, fella. I'm too old to be climbing up trees, and anyway, I don't have a ladder that'll reach you. I'll phone for the sheriff at Snake Rock now. Now, you hold on up there. Now then, where is that in here? Hello? Hello? Darn this instrument. Hello? Hello? Oh, Agnes? You hear me? Good. Now listen. There's a man dangling by a parachute in one of my trees. No, a man in a tree. Reckon he could be from that plane crash they were talking about on the radio. Well, he looks mighty bad. He's just a mess of blood. Look, get the sheriff out here, will you? And a doctor, pronto. Hey, fella, you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
The sheriff will be here. Should take him about 10 minutes now. Now, you hold on there. You hear me? Do you hear me, fella? The sheriff's on his way out here.
Excuse me, Colonel. We just had a call via the police at Plan River Curve.
Well, they found him.
The sheriff at Snake Rock reported a call from an old man who lives alone on a farm about 10 miles
come on.
Of Snake Rock. The old man said he'd found someone dangling by a parachute in a tree.
It's the pilot.
Yeah.
Was he alive?
The General Hospital at Plan River Curve has sent an air ambulance to pick him up. That's all we know at the moment.
I see.
We'd better not set our hopes up. By the sounds of it, the ambulance may only find a body dangling from that tree.
Thank you.
where they found him over at Snake Rock.
Yeah, that's right.
Was he alive?
Well, the last we heard was that an air ambulance was picking him up. He'll be flown to the General Hospital at Plan River Curve. It's the closest.
Well, when was he found?
About half an hour ago.
There should be some news by now. Can't they check with the hospital?
Take it easy. When there's some news, it'll go straight through to Colonel Yalton. He'll tell us.
So we don't know if he's...
No news is sometimes good news, okay?
Well, if he was dead when the air ambulance got there, well, we'd have known surely by now.
Take it easy, huh?
Sure I know, but I was up there in the collision. I saw his aircraft start going down. We were personal friends. Has his wife been told?
I didn't know he was married. Anyway, Colonel Yalton will handle that sort of thing.
Married, two kids. If she's got to be told he's dead, I'll ask Yalton to let me do it.
Hey, look, haven't you had enough of one day?
It was a freaky accident. We were flying at a safe distance from each other, and suddenly it was like we were being hurled towards each other by some crazy tornado. It was weird.
You should get some rest, okay?
I can't rest until I hear if he's alive.
We'll let you know as soon as we hear something. Now, why don't you...
Good evening, gentlemen.
Couldn't have been any further news, sir.
Yes. For a start, the ambulance crew had a job getting him down from that tree.
Is he alive, sir?
Yes. In fact, once they got him out of the tree, he was able to walk across to the ambulance. He insisted.
Wow.
He said that after all the way he'd come, he was going to walk the rest of it.
What? He walked to the ambulance?
We're talking about a pretty tough customer.
Oh, we must have overestimated the altitude at which he ejected.
Well, he says he ejected at just over 46,000 feet. And that's very near 50,000 that we supposed.
What are his injuries, sir?
Cuts, bruises, frostbite, disjointed shoulder, some loss of equilibrium, hemorrhaging in one eye, bleeding through the ears, nose, and throat. I hear he wasn't a pretty sight.
Well, he obviously took a hammering on the way down.
Yeah, but fortunately, he managed to get his portable oxygen supply working. He got the mask over his face.
Will he ever be fit enough to return to flying duty, sir?
Well, there's a flock of medical specialists taking care of him. I spoke to one of the doctors on the phone. He says they're amazed that the injuries weren't a lot worse.
But will he fly again?
Look, he's receiving the best possible medical attention. Plus, the human body's own considerable powers of recovery. So the answer may well turn out to be yes.
I'd like to make a public apology.
Oh?
I honestly thought he'd never make it to the ground alive.
Don't apologize. You can buy us each a beer in the mess.
Sure.
I think a small celebration would be in order.
With pleasure, sir. With pleasure.
High Adventure is produced by Henry Diffenthal.
In the cruel, cruel sky. We gotta get our back here.
Ejected at 50,000 feet. Wow.
I usually eject at 40,000. I mean, you know, why go crazy?
Yeah, I don't like where this might end up.
I don't know. If I ejected like 20 feet, I'd be flatted out on the sidewalk.
Now we're back to goats and off. No, never mind.
Yeah, no, no.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. We got a lot of radio.
So,
a whole lot of radio.
But we have a meal first.
Oh, yeah. We wouldn't want to slip right into the third one without having a moral in there. Somewhere. Uh-huh. Somewhere about now.
Throwing.
Damn right I was scrolling. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Any landing you can walk away from is a good landing. Unless it's into a manure factory. That's just stinky business.
Hello. I'm Mr. Red.
See, that
okay.
Was
I have no idea.
Finally,
why that
we're
happened.
On the same page.
Who said John Elway was allowed on this show? That's
know.
What I want to know.
I thought that was, what's her name from
Dago? Can you take that up with your shop steward? No?
I don't. She was in the Ed Wood movie, Ed Wood. All right, we've got, what do we got? The Whistler.
Whistler. Yes.
It is the Whistler time, yes.
So, here we go.
June 26, 1943.
Oh, no, no, give it to me. I am the Whistler. And I walk by night. I have to. How can I sleep with all that doggone whistling going on?
Actually, this one's called The Blank Wall, originally broadcast on Tuesday.
June 26, 1943.
Listen at the end of the following program for an important announcement regarding change of time. Have you heard the strange tales of the Whistler?
Now it's been nothing but murder and death. How much do you think a man can stand?
Saturday night, and again, CBS presents The Whistler. I, the Whistler, know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. And so I tell you tonight the odd story of the Blank Wall. A thin, bespectacled little man paces nervously up and down the floor of his office, up and down, back and forth. He runs his hands nervously through his hair. Time after time, he cleans his glasses, lights cigarette upon cigarette. The tension increases with every passing moment. This man is fighting against time. Time. With him, every second counts. Every minute becomes an eternity. Yes, this man is up against a blank wall. Suddenly he stops, and in sheer desperation, he almost screams at the man facing him.
I can't go on any longer. I won't. There's a limit to everything. I've come to the end of my rope.
You made a deal with me, Wilson. So far, you've done very well. But you can't back down now. It's too late.
I've done everything you've assigned to me. But don't you understand? It's tearing me to pieces. It's wrecking my nerves. I can't eat. I can't sleep.
It's too late to quit, Wilson. You've gone this far, and I warn you, you can't pull out now.
Murder, death. How long do you think I can go on doing such things? How long?
You'll go on and on until we're through with you.
I won't.
Yes, you will. Furthermore, you'll like it, or... Well, you know what'll happen.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean, Wilson. If you think you can walk out on me after all you've done, considering what you know about everything here, well, you've got another thing coming.
I'm afraid.
Afraid of what?
I'm afraid I'll lose my mind.
You won't.
For the last 6 nights now, I haven't been able to close my eyes. All I can see is poor Gregory Hellman.
Hellman?
Yes, awake or asleep, all I can see is his body buried in the cellar. And 2 weeks ago, it was John Henderson. Dying in agony. I wake up in the middle of the night screaming.
Oh, nonsense.
On the surface, I'm a quiet, gentle person. No one around me knows the awful things that go through my mind. That's what I'm afraid of.
What?
Oh, that I'll suddenly go haywire. Look, Griskin, you've got to let up on me, for a while at least, or I'll crack up.
All right, Wilson. All right. We'll give you a rest.
You will, Griskin?
Yes. After this one.
What? Which one?
Olivia Martin.
Olivia Martin?
Yes, Olivia Martin.
Well, what's wrong? I thought I'd worked that all out.
Oh, the plan's fair, but there are a couple of loopholes, Wilson. And one thing we don't want is a loophole. Right? You've never slipped so far. We can't afford to now.
No. Well, all right. I'll check on it. I'll straighten it out.
And make it airtight, Wilson.
And then can I get away from everything for a while?
If you plan it so that Olivia Martin takes the rap for everything, then I see no reason why you can't have a rest from all this.
All right, Griskin, I'll do my best, but...
But what?
Oh, isn't there anyone else who could work it out?
No. Only you, Wilson. And you'd better start now. Understand?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
I'll be back around 5:30, and I'll expect a foolproof plan. I mean one with no holes in it. So long, Wilson.
Yes.
Well, Wilson, you're on the spot, aren't you? You heard what the boss said. No loopholes, no slip-ups. And Olivia Martin must take the rap. But just how are you going to plan this murder, Wilson?
Olivia Martin, husband Fred Martin, wealthy advertising executive. How can I work it out?
Oh, you can do it, Wilson. You can do it. You've planned things like this before. And the one who really did it was never caught.
But Olivia Martin is innocent.
You're very clever. You can concoct something and make everyone believe it, whether it's true or not.
Yes, but what? I'm up against a blank wall.
Come, Wilson. A professional killer. A murderer. One who knows all the tricks up against a blank wall.
Yes. There must be some way.
Yes. Why don't you plan this one in reverse? Look at it from the standpoint of the detectives. Start with the moment Olivia is accused and trapped. Think in reverse, Wilson, and work backwards.
Yes. I'll start with Olivia when she's caught.
That's right. Now, supposing it's this way. Suppose Olivia Martin had returned to her home in New York. The plane she was flying crashed, and her husband's secretary, Doris Hammond, was killed. Now Fred Martin, Olivia's husband, who has been living at his club, goes home to question Olivia.
Hello, Olivia.
Fred. Oh, Fred, it was terrible.
I can imagine. I'm sorry, Olivia.
I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, my motor went dead. I couldn't find a clearing anyplace. I thought I saw a place, but it was more trees, and with no motor, I couldn't pull up in time.
Where were you going, Olivia?
Why, after you left for the club, I got to thinking things over, and I just couldn't remain another night in this house alone. So I decided to go to my sister's in Detroit.
I see. Poor Doris, I was never so shocked in my life.
Fred, I'm so sorry. So terribly sorry.
No, get hold of yourself. You couldn't help it.
I know how you must feel, Fred.
I'll certainly miss her.
Can you ever forgive me?
Well, of course, Olivia.
I never want to fly a plane again, never.
Tell me, how did Doris happen to be with you? Where was she going?
Well, she said she wanted to visit a friend in Buffalo, asked me if I'd drop her off there.
How did she know you were flying that way?
Well, I went to your office and told her I was going to Detroit and asked her to draw some money for me. I told her I'd be glad to put down in Buffalo.
I can't imagine why she'd leave the office in the middle of the week to visit friends out of town.
Maybe she had some business to attend to on the side.
Olivia, are you telling me the truth?
Why, what do you mean?
Have you told me the real reason why you wanted to leave town?
Certainly.
Are you sure you weren't carrying out a plan?
Plan?
Didn't you have a definite idea in mind when you wrote that note to me at the club?
Note?
Yes. You seem to have forgotten the note. Why don't you tell the truth, Olivia? Aren't you running away from something?
Running from what?
Why don't you tell the truth?
Yes. Yes, I did make up my mind to do something terrible. I was going to kill her. And myself. But after I mailed the note to you, I seemed to come to my senses. I couldn't go through with it.
So you decided to forget the idea and go on to Detroit?
Yes, I swear I changed my mind about killing her. I just couldn't be a murderer.
You expect me to believe that?
I know what you think, the note and everything, but I didn't do it.
The note is certainly evidence against you.
Where is the note? You must destroy it, Fred. Don't tell anyone about it.
What time did you talk to Doris at the office?
About noon, I think.
And you mailed the note the night before?
Yes.
Left town at 5?
Yes.
What did you do in the meantime?
I can't remember. I'm so confused. I went shopping for what?
Are you sure?
I changed my plan to kill her by the time morning came.
You're going to have a hard time proving that.
It's the truth.
The police think you did kill her.
Police? What do they know about it?
They were waiting for me when I got back from Boston. They'd already found the note at my club. That's where you made your big mistake, Olivia.
Yes.
The detectives are here now. They want to talk to you. Come in, Captain Evans.
Thank you.
Olivia, this is Captain Evans.
Good morning.
He'd like to ask you a few questions.
Yes. Is it true that your husband left you a few days ago with the idea that you were to get a divorce?
Yes.
You believe that your husband was in love with another woman?
I did.
Do you know who that woman was?
I did.
After he left you, did you write this note to him?
Yes, I wrote it, but I didn't
mean... The next day you got some money at your husband's office. And at exactly 5 o'clock, you took off in your plane.
Yes, but I changed my mind. I couldn't go through with it.
Where were you between noon and 5 o'clock?
I went about town. I really don't remember what
I did.
Can
you prove where you were during that train?
I don't see how I could. What difference does it make where I was between noon and 5 o'clock?
It makes a lot of difference. Because it was about that hour that Rita Bartow was stabbed to death in her apartment.
Rita Bartow? The head of the art department?
Yes. The weapon has not been found. There were no clues. Accepting your note to your husband.
Rita Bartow? I don't understand.
Rita Bartow was the other woman. The woman your husband was in love with. I'm sorry, but you got yourself in a tough spot. Come along, Mrs. Martin.
Well, there you are, Wilson. Conclusive evidence against Olivia Martin as the murderer of Rita Bartow. Olivia will never be able to prove where she was between noon and 5 o'clock when she took off.
Rita Bartow was dead, stabbed, no weapon found. But why should Olivia kill Rita Bartow? Because Olivia knew her husband was in love with another woman. That's what she said in the note.
That's right.
But what about that note? How can I manage that?
Oh, you can do that easily, Wilson. Someone as clever as you are can arrange a detail like that. Now, let's move back to the day of the plane crash. The day when Doris Hammond, Fred's secretary, was killed in the plane flown by Olivia. Olivia, we are presuming, has told Fred that Doris was going to visit friends in Buffalo. Now, let's see what happened between New York and Buffalo.
How far have we come now, Mrs. Martin?
Well, I don't know. About 75 miles.
That was quite a storm back there. Hope we don't run into any more. I don't like a plane during a storm.
I don't know anyone who does. Doris, aren't you just a bit upset over this trip?
What do you mean?
Just that.
Do I seem upset?
Yes. Is something preying on your mind?
Yes, there is something bothering me.
A guilty conscience?
What?
Isn't that what it is?
What are you talking about?
Are you looking forward to a nice visit in Buffalo?
Well, I don't consider it a visit. It's part of my job.
It's a very pleasant job, too. I'm sure you'll miss the job and its attending interests. Working late at night, several nights a week.
What do you mean by that? Why should I lose my job?
Your job isn't all you're going to lose.
What?
Fred isn't in Buffalo.
Where is he?
I don't know, but wherever he is, you'll never see him again.
Put this plane down. Let me out. You're mad.
I'm going to put it down. Straight down on its nose.
What?
Fred won't think you're so attractive the next time he sees you.
You can't do this. You can't. Put that key back in the switch. I won't. I won't. Give me that key. Pull up. Those trees. Pull up.
Well, they hit the treetops, and when a farmer who sees the crash reaches them, he finds Olivia thrown clear of the wreck and still alive. Doris, of course, is dead. Not bad so far, is it, Wilson? But now what?
Now, this should happen after 5 o'clock when Doris and Olivia took off in the plane. Now, what should happen between noon and 5 o'clock? Yes, that's the period Olivia can't account for.
All right. Let's go back to, say, 2 o'clock, 2 in the afternoon. One of your own choice characters, Wilson, who has been working in Fred Martin's advertising agency as an artist, has just returned from an errand on which he's been sent by Doris Hammond. Remember that. Doris Hammond. And the character is Jack Mallory.
Jack Mallory, where on earth have you been? You know what time it is, 2 o'clock.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got to talking and
I didn't realize the hour.
What about the art layout? Did Rita select one?
Yes, this one. She made a couple of changes in it.
What change?
Oh, nothing important. Just wanted this section here set up in red. Stands out better.
Hmm. Yes, so it does.
Well, I better put this through right away. Sorry to have been so late with it.
I'm glad you got back with it before I left.
Left?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going, Gus?
Mr. Martin phoned. He wants me to join him in Buffalo. Something important has come up.
Buffalo? I thought he was in Boston.
Yes, but he had to run over to Buffalo in a hurry.
Oh, Buffalo?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's strange.
What's strange?
Hmm? Well, I mean his being in Buffalo.
Yeah. What's strange about it?
Well, I don't know. I suppose he could be in Buffalo.
What's the matter with you, Jack?
Well, nothing. Nothing at all.
Lean over here.
What? Why?
A little closer.
Well, what's the matter?
Well, of all things. Now I've seen everything. You've actually had a drink. You, of all people.
Well, I don't approve of it as a rule, but I walked back from Rita's place. I got my feet a little wet in the rain. Felt kind of chilly. Afraid I was catching cold, so I stopped in the bar on the way back and had a drink.
Well, I hope you don't get sick. Can't afford to have you and Rita both out.
No, that's right. There's lots of work to be done this week.
Here, take off that top coat. It's damp. Let me have it. I'll hang it over the radiator. Well.
What's wrong?
How on earth did you do this? You've spilled ink on the front of your coat.
Yeah? Well, what do you know? That's a fine thing. I just got it yesterday. Oh, I must have done that over at Rita's when I blacked that section in red.
You ought to get it out as soon as possible. Here, hand me that towel from the closet and dampen it.
No, don't bother, Doris. I'll have it clean tomorrow.
Get some of it out now. Thanks. Oh, certainly hard to get off.
It's probably dried in by now.
Strangest ink I ever saw. It doesn't seem to be ink. More like blood, if you ask me.
Blood? Let's see. That is strange. Let me see that art layout. It does seem a little darker than this on the card. Oh, maybe the cloth has something to do with it.
Perhaps.
Better let the cleaners worry about it, huh? What time are you leaving, Doris?
In a few minutes. I'm flying from the airport around 5.
Well, good luck, Doris. I'll see you in a few days.
Thanks, Jack. Take care of yourself. And lay off the liquor. That's bad stuff to get started on.
Are you kidding?
What do you think?
Whoa! Just got back from the breakfast bar there.
Open 24 hours.
Why is your hand raised? In the studio,
I have my
Dave.
Eggs scrambled over easy.
Yeah, I see your hand raised there. In the studio.
What? Where? What?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, it is. That's weird.
When the hand goes up, the goat says...
Yeah, that's weird.
At least all the fingers are up, so that's good.
When the hand goes up, the goat says...
We keep losing GGSI paper. I wonder if there's connectivity issues with... We wouldn't want to blame that on Blog Talk, would we?
I don't know what that is.
We usually do.
Wow, okay, yeah. They're back. They just came back.
Hey, there he is. Back again.
So,
good.
I don't know.
We don't want to lose you. We miss you. It's been a while.
I know. I was showing crazy failure on my side. I had to walk away from you guys. Sorry about that. Boy.
You're not the only one, brother. We'll talk later. Let's wrap up the Whistler. So we have plenty of time for shameless promotion and an upcoming guest. Ha-ha. All coming up after we wrap up the blank wall from the Whistler.
For a few moments, Doris stands staring after Jack as he passes through the door to the outer office. She picks up the towel, studies it for a second, then tosses it into a desk drawer and leaves the office. Now, Wilson, what happened preceding the incident we just worked out?
Well, suppose it's arranged that Olivia Martin visits her husband's office and calls on Doris, her husband's secretary.
Good afternoon, Miss Annan.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Martin?
I'm afraid I won't have time. I'm in rather a hurry. I've a number of things to do this afternoon.
I help you?
I suppose you're quite busy yourself.
Only is my work always doubled when Fred leaves town.
Fred?
Yes, Mr. Martin.
Oh,
my husband. I suppose it does seem strange for an employee to call him Fred. But for some reason, I've gotten into the habit and can't seem to break it. He doesn't seem to mind, however.
Is that so? After all, you're like one of the family, aren't you, Miss Hannah?
Yes, I've been here for several years.
You've been Fred's private secretary for how long now?
Almost a year.
Pleasant work, is it?
Oh, you've no idea how absorbing this business can be, Mrs. Martin.
I realize that it must have a certain amount of extremely interesting moments.
You should drop around here more often, Mrs. Martin.
How right you are. Things might have been different.
Different?
Yes, I mean if I'd taken an active interest in the business. Well, at times it gets rather dull waiting at home, especially on long evenings when one's husband has to stay in town on business. But I mustn't take up your time with personal problems. I want you to have a check drawn to me for $500.
Very well, I'll attend to it at once.
Have you heard from Fred since he left?
No, I haven't.
He phoned me this morning.
He did?
He left an important paper at home, and he knew I was flying to Detroit tonight to visit my relatives.
Yes.
So he wants me to drop it off for him at Buffalo.
Buffalo? I thought he was in Boston.
He was. But he had to rush over to Buffalo. Some unexpected business came up. He says he needs you very badly.
He wants me to come to Buffalo?
Yes. I told him I'd notify you and bring you with me. I'll be leaving the airport about 5.
Well, I'll meet you at the airport. Is there anything in particular he wants me to bring?
No. Nothing but the paper he left at home.
Very well. I'll be at the airport.
Do you mind flying, Miss Hammond?
No, not at all.
That's good. I'll see you at 5.
Well, Wilson, so far, so good. Doris, the secretary, has been killed in a plane piloted by Olivia. Prior to that, Jack Mallory returned from a visit to Rita Barter's apartment with a stain on his coat. And shortly before that, Olivia talked to Doris in the office. Now, what happens while Olivia is wandering about town till 5 o'clock, the time she took off from the airport?
Well, it was after 2 o'clock when my man Jack Mallory, who was working in the art department, returned from Rita Barter's apartment with the art layout. Doris had sent him there about noon.
All right. Now let's see what happened while he was at Rita's.
Oh, hello, Jack. Doris phoned me, said you were bringing that layout over.
Oh, yes, Rita. The client wants you to pick out the one you want to use for the display.
I know.
How do you feel?
Oh, all right. I just didn't feel like coming to the office today.
Oh? Well, Doris said you were ill. Had a bad cold, huh?
Oh, no, not too bad. I'll be all right tomorrow.
Oh, I see. Well, here are the layouts for next week. Which one do you want?
Well, I'd planned on this one, but I think you should make this section in red.
Mm-hmm, I see. Well, that's easy. I'll fix it up in a jiffy.
Well, it'll stand out better that way. We'll run this other one for the week following.
Okay. Hey, you look mighty lovely, Rita.
Thanks.
Where are you going all dressed up? Shouldn't you be in bed?
Why, I've got to go out of town this afternoon on that Henderson deal. I wanted to put it off till next week, but, well, Mr. Martin insisted that I get it settled as soon as possible.
You shouldn't be running around too much, darling.
I don't really have a cold. It's that sinus trouble again.
Why don't you try a change of climate, Rita?
Change of climate?
Uh-huh. Yes, you could take that job in California.
Quit Fred Martin after all he's done for me?
Fred Martin isn't the only advertising man in the world.
No.
I should think you'd like California, Rita. I've always wanted to go there. I've had an idea I could do very well. Some nice jobs in the movie art departments.
Well, I'm not interested in movies.
I've thought about going out there and settling down. Buying a nice little home and really enjoying life.
Why should a bachelor do all that? You have ideas about getting married, Jack?
Yeah. Yes, I have, Rita.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it.
What time's your plane leave, Rita?
At 2.
How about a little lunch while you're waiting, huh?
Very well.
Well, leave your bag here. We'll pick it up later.
All right.
I've got something important to talk to you about, Rita.
Important?
Yeah. Well, I got a nice raise this week.
Well, that's fine, Jack.
I want to ask you a question about you and me.
Yes. Well, go ahead.
No, not now. Come on. We'll talk about it during lunch, huh?
Now, we know, of course, what Jack had to say to Rita. That's obvious. Marriage. But if Rita was ill, Why was she leaving for an out-of-town appointment? Well, the next step is the most important. Remember, Wilson, Olivia and her husband Fred had come to the parting of the ways, and Olivia wrote a note.
Yes, that was the part that made the whole thing logical, the part that afforded a perfect setup for me. Olivia was pacing the bedroom floor long past midnight when Fred came home and knocked on her door.
Olivia? You awake?
Yes. Come in.
I thought you might be asleep.
Asleep? How could I sleep?
Well, it's 1 o'clock, isn't it?
Yes, Fred.
I really didn't realize it was so late.
You don't usually bother to see if I'm awake.
Don't I?
For the past 2 months, you've gone right onto your own room.
Yes, yes, I guess I have.
Get your business settled?
Yes, I had quite a bit to attend to.
Have dinner at the club?
Hmm? Oh, yes, the club.
Then why didn't you answer my call? I had you paged. They said you hadn't been there this evening.
Oh? Perhaps I hadn't arrived yet.
Really?
Well, I think I'll turn in. Good night, Olivia.
Why don't you say it?
Say what?
What you came here to say.
What makes you think I had anything particular to say?
I've known all evening you were planning to tell me something when you got in.
Well, that's nonsense.
I've known for months this was coming. I know what sort of business detained you. A woman.
What?
At first, I believed your stories about working late. But as the weeks passed and I realized you were growing colder, the whole thing became clear to me. Then I knew you were evading me, that you were lying.
Go on.
We've been married 10 years, Fred. I've done everything humanly possible to make our marriage a success.
Have you?
I think I have.
That's your opinion, Olivia.
Oh, Fred, I'm just sick all over. I've tried not to believe it.
Oh, let's not have a scene, Olivia, please.
What do you expect me to do? Laugh it off?
No, not you, Olivia. Certainly not you.
I suppose you'll say it's all my fault. I'm to blame for everything.
I haven't said anything.
Then why don't you? Why beat about the bush? You came here to say something. Say it.
Very well, since you put it that way, I will. I'm going out of town tomorrow on business. I'm sending my things to the club. When I return, I intend to live there.
Fred.
Now, wait a minute, Olivia. I haven't finished. I want you to get a divorce. On any grounds you please. Desertion or whatever you wish.
Divorce? Do you mean that?
I do.
Very well. If that's the way you want it, there's nothing else I can do.
No, Olivia. Nothing. Good night.
Well, there you are, Wilson. That was what led up to Olivia's writing the note to Fred at his club. The note that made this whole thing possible. She mailed it the following night. That note was the complete evidence against her, Wilson. What does it say?
Fred, the very thought of losing you, the thought of divorce, the thought of giving you up for another woman is more than I can bear. The shame, the disgrace, the scandal of it all would, I know, drive me insane. Regardless of what you may think, I refuse to accept the responsibility of the failure of our marriage. I know who caused it, and I know who she is. You'd never be happy with a woman of her type. You'd be throwing your life away. I refuse to give you up to her, and so I have made a decision. Goodbye, Fred. Olivia.
Now, Wilson, because of that note, Olivia will be accused of the death of Rita Bartow because Rita was really the woman her husband was in love with. She thought it was Doris, Fred's secretary. She lied to Doris when she said Fred had asked her to bring Doris to Buffalo. Fred wasn't in Buffalo. Olivia planned to crash the plane and kill herself as well as Doris. But Olivia survived only to be accused of the death of Rita. Actually, you fix it so that your choice character, Jack Mallory, killed Rita when he learned that Rita was really going to Boston to be with Fred Martin. And the ironical part of it will be that Olivia killed the one person who knew about the odd stains on Jack's coat. Bloodstains. Yes, Doris will be the only one able to clear Olivia and place the guilt on Jack Mallory. But Doris will be dead. It works out perfectly, Wilson. You're not up against this blank wall now. The murder is perfect, and no one will ever know who really did it. That is, no one but you and I.
It's wonderful. Airtight. Not a single loophole.
Yeah, Wilson? How about it?
I've got
got it, Griska. Not a slip-up on the whole thing.
I knew you could
no
do it.
No one will ever figure this one out. I tried a new slant. I started at the end and worked backwards.
Backwards?
Yes.
Well, just so it works out okay, what does it matter?
Now, look, Griska, you said if I figured this one out that I could get away from all this for a while.
I know.
Well, then how about it?
Okay, Wilson. I'll give you a month on one condition.
Well, what's that?
That you really get out of town.
What do you mean, Griska?
I know that other outfit's been after you. I know they've offered you a better deal, but if you try to walk out on us now, well, I don't think I need to say any more.
Well, then, how about a raise when I come back?
A raise? Okay, Wilson, it's a deal. You'll get a raise. But if you know what's good for you, you'll be back here in exactly 1 month.
Yeah, sure, I understand. I'll be back. Well, I'm not going to leave you. You know, I wouldn't think of such a thing. Maybe while I'm gone, I'll figure out some new tricks.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. Enjoy yourself, Wilson, because you're going to be a busy man when you get back. We've got a... Well, this is going to be a busy season for murders. So long.
Yeah. So long, Chief.
Well, the boss was perfectly satisfied with the way Wilson worked out the details of the job. And Wilson was more than pleased, too. Of course, all I did was to suggest a plan he used once before. Only I suggested it to him in reverse. And the strange thing was, he didn't even recognize his own plan. Yes, Wilson had used this one before. He used it last year, about 6 months ago. November, to be exact. But neither he nor the boss were aware of it. In other words, a plot is just as good worked backwards as it is forwards. Oh, by the way, I should mention now that Wilson was not an employee of Murder Incorporated, and Griskin is not a gangster chieftain. No. Wilson was really a top writer for a detective story weekly, and Griskin was the editor of the magazine. Poor Wilson was just up against a blank wall, so I thought I'd help him out.
Whistler will come to you at a new time, Friday night at 9. Remember, next week, Friday at 9 p.m. Original music for this production was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The Whistler is written and directed by J. Donald Wilson and originates from Columbia Square in Hollywood.
Yes, the Whistler.
He's not the only Whistler in the on the area right now.
Oh, Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Designing a flowchart that flows backwards undoes everything, including yourself.
Better. I feel better.
Didn't fit as well as the Mr. Ed in the manure factory, but okay.
No, that's...
Actually, the potty flush would have fit better with the manure factory than the Mr. Ed, but hey, who knew?
Who knew?
Well,
who knew?
What do you think you get that manure from, you know? Come on.
Yeah.
You got from Wilbur and Mr. Ed.
Hey, Wilbur.
Yep.
Stop touching my goat.
So, tomorrow, we'll be back at 6:30 Eastern, a little CBS Radio Mystery Theater and an Arctic encounter with another plane crash. Yep.
Another plane crash. Yep, first.
Yeah.
Can't get
and
enough
I don't
of
know,
them.
And maybe if his IPS gets fixed.
My IPS? Yeah.
I said, one of them letters.
Yes, tomorrow scheduled for 8 p.m. is a vault program. Until they get this ironed out, I'm not going to sit there and kill myself for 4 hours before the broadcast and then go, oh, guess what? It doesn't work. So I'm going to attempt to do a vault program tomorrow from 8 until around midnight, starring the Bionic Woman. And there's a spooky Bionic Woman episode, and then I think it's the 1956 werewolf film, black and white.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is. It's
so what kind
there.
Of vault? Like a vault of horror or Vault Disney?
Vault meaning an archive program from the past. It's a rebroadcast of something I've already done that I have.
The Vault of Gar. The horrible vault.
Vault. I can't remember. I think it dates back to 2016, 2017, something. It's an older program.
Yep. See that, Gar, even if he can't do it live, Gar is going to be out there for you at 8 when we're done tomorrow starting at 6:30. So you got your evening planned, right?
Yep. I don't know if you know this. I started my foray into this 2006. Been 15 years.
Where did the time go? Where did the time go?
Happy birthday to your show.
Well, yeah, it's not 15 years to the day.
I would have to
go investigate for that one, but yeah.
Yeah. Get your garculator.
I'll take it all back.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Dave. So, are we wrapping up? Is it time for Vincent yet? No, we got 3 minutes.
Not quite yet. We got a few
almost
minutes.
Yes.
Okay. So, Dave, are you going to tell everybody about Barbie goes to Malibu and gets a divorce?
Well, yeah,
what are you going to do?
And I did post it on not only on the Weird to Show Bad Movie page, but on there. Yeah, well, we did some shooting this week out at the Toys and Noise Tour Shop in Ellet, Ohio. And one of those sketches is posted. The Barbie doll is posted there it's on the Weird It's Really Bad Movie Facebook page, on my Facebook page, and on the Eerie House Facebook page.
Yes.
Go find it. It's a lot of fun.
It's everywhere. Did you know that people eat more bananas than monkeys?
Yeah, I don't eat many monkeys at all.
That's all right. You know where I was going with that.
I had a monkey last Tuesday. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but you got to get those things imported. You know, the good ones are the imported ones.
I don't know if we're going to go out with Vincent tonight, because Dave brought something to my attention prior to the show starting.
Yes. That's right. It is the 107th birthday of Orson Welles. So if Orson Welles were alive today, he'd be dead.
He'd still be dead. That's right.
Neil Adams passed away recently. I don't know if you're familiar, Dale.
Yeah. He was an artist for Marvel.
He was also a catalyst for artists and writers to get credit for their work instead of these companies just going, no, this character's ours. The Superman, Simon and Schuster, you guys went out there. They did not have their name.
No, they had zero representation. Zero.
Right, exactly. And he was a catalyst in that. So that, I think that's kind of significant. He passed away recently. He had an illness, septus. And it got into his bloodstream, and apparently,
folks will see tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern. And remember, he's still dead at 107. Orson Welles.
And now, until next time, till we meet again in the same place, I remain as always obediently yours.
I have an alibi.
Wash your hands, Orson.
You flushed Orson. Boy,
when Orson Welles goes, he really goes.
You flushed Orson. Oh, my gosh. So we're not dead yet, so we've got overtime.
I don't think he would have approved of that at all.
I don't think he would have. But, of course, he didn't approve of those frozen peas either.
Oh, heck no.
There'll be no wine before it's time. Vidal Sassoon wine or whatever. I don't know what it was.
Vidal Sassoon.
That was Gallo wine. Gallo's wine.
Gallo's
wine.
Yeah, whatever that
Gallo's
was.
Wine,
yeah.
Sell no wine.
Gallo wine.
Sell no wine. Dale, it's, are we? We are in, we are just starting May, but that soon kicks into the summer months.
Right.
I know it's still snowing in Ohio, but. Okay, so for summer.
Yeah, we haven't had snow for at least 4 days here. What are you talking about?
There you go. So one thing that used to occur in my lifetime as a kid growing up for summer was summer meant reading, getting my comic book on, meaning going to a flea market and spending a dollar for a grocery bag, one of the brown bags, paper bags, filled with comic books. They weren't bagged and bordered and all that. You just got an entire grocery bag for a buck.
Yeah, and they fit pretty good in a grocery bag. I remember doing that.
It's almost perfect. Right,
yeah.
Yes. And so one thing that I still do is I get comic books for the summer. And one place I ran across to get this, Dale, is this. Let me find. There it is. Okay. Let me find it. Okay, there it is. So I went to Ollie's discount outlet, whatever that's called, Ollie's. You're familiar?
I know an Ollie who sells carpets, but.
No.
Ollie's,
Ollie's
O-L-L-I-E-S.
We have several of them around here, Dale.
Yeah, it's like Big Lots.
Oh, okay.
But it's called Ollie's. Okay.
It's kind of like Odd Lots used to be. Yeah.
I have never seen an Ollie's, but do go on.
And oddly, the Ollie's mascot looks like a cartoon version of Einstein. I don't know why. Anyway,
as in Albert Einstein or
Ollie. I don't know.
It kind of looks like the Marx guy, Dale.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So anyway, kind of
looks like him.
So I went there today, and I bought 6 graphic novels. The list price on these graphic novels is $169, and I got them for $35.94.
I hope that was a big stack.
It is. It's a big stack. These are big, huge, honking books. You know, it's probably, like I said, it's summer reading.
Yeah. There's an old bookstore. There's a town in Oberlin north of me. It's a college town. And they've got an old bookstore, and they get old books. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes they get those, you know how they reprint those comic books in hardbound? Sometimes they get collections.
Not yet.
But unfortunately, they're very expensive.
I get
some of them
softbound.
Are so cool because it's really old comics, like before I even started reading them.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like all the Creepies and Eeries and all those.
Oh, yeah, the ECs.
Yeah, but they're so expensive. I have gotten darn near the entire run of the Showcase, which is a 500 page black and white, but it's softbound, it's paperback, but it's a reprint black and white of the old comics, and you know, into the 60s, you know, dating back into the 60s, fun stuff to read.
Yeah,
if you can get the reprints, yeah, great.
I have reprints of the ECs in comic book size. Some company put them out, I don't know, I want to say late 80s,
Dark Horse or something.
Early 90s.
Uh-huh.
It was like around the time I first got married, maybe even just before, so probably late 80s.
Right.
They were fun.
Yeah, the only rub that I've got now is these are more contemporary books, so they're not necessarily following some of the stories that I read growing. These are brand new, so they're a little bit different.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Someone marked it with a marker. How dare they? Anyway.
Oh.
But they were...
Outrage.
I'm sorry.
What?
I marked your book. Yeah.
But one of these, it was a $40 book, and I got it for $7.99.
Nice.
Not bad. It's not the whole, you know, grocery bags worth for a dollar, but...
Still.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of $7.99, I don't know what that means to anything, but they are starting to film Mel Brooks' sequel to History of the World Part 1. The History of the World Part 2 for a streaming series is starting to be filmed in L.A. right now.
Oh, God, it's not going to be
Very cool.
Oh, come on. It's going to be hard to do without Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
No, Mel Brooks is part of it.
Oh, all right. Well, then there's hope.
He's at least in on the writing.
He's got to be watered down, writing, though, so. with how people are today. Some of his humor is not acceptable.
Yeah.
Well, it's on the streaming service. We talked about what you can't get away with on regular TV that you can on a streaming service. So it's possible that some of that's going to be there.
Oh, we'll see.
Hopefully you can let Mel Brooks be Mel Brooks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and who knows? Maybe he's mellowing with age, too, and he's... We'll see.
Exactly. Star Trek has a new series streaming now. There's another Star Trek iteration.
Yeah.
I love
there
Star
is.
Trek.
And it's the one with not Picard, the very
Captain
first one that...
Pike.
Pike, yeah, he was the one, he actually did the first pilot.
Yes.
And then his wife made him turn down the role when it went to television.
Wow.
Yeah, because she wanted him to be treated like a movie star, and Gene Roddenberry didn't have money to do that, so.
Yeah. Sorry, you're not getting money. You're not getting superstar wages, dude.
No, the actor interpreting Pike is a newer actor to the Star Trek thing.
I'm just saying the original pilot that was
in 1967.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, something like that.
What was his name? Jeff.
Jeff Hunter.
Hunter. Jeffrey Hunter. Yeah.
Jeffrey Hunter.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. But there and a very young Spock is in this as well. So.
Yeah. And a slightly less. I don't think he had the character fully developed as Spock. He seemed a little. He was showing more emotion than you would expect from Spock.
Yeah. Actually, he laughed out loud in that original pilot.
Yes.
They took
yes.
that away in the second pilot. Yeah.
Mm. That's what cutting room floors are for, right?
Yes, indeed.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what happened there, bud.
Yep. Again for your consumption there, Dale. If you do go to the Ollie's, they have both Marvel titles as well as DC titles, so you can get your flavor. Plus, they have alternate the titles too, or companies as well. They have a whole area set up just for graphic novels.
They do, yeah.
If you're so moved towards that stuff.
Because there's one in North Canton, and I know there's one right here in Cuyahoga Falls now. There's also one there right up there in Twinsburg. So, Dale, I'm not sure where they are.
Twinsburg would probably be the closest of what you've mentioned so far.
Yeah, it's right on 271 at Twinsburg.
Yeah, that's still a haul.
That's a haul for you. I'd be surprised if there wasn't any at all on the west side. But
there's bound to
be
an Ollie's tracker that'll tell you where it is closest to your address.
That's a problem Dave and I have, is there is no, like, really good freeway access directly or even semi-directly
to each
between
other,
And you guys haven't invested in helicopters yet? What's the deal?
No, it's helicopter. Didn't you listen to that story?
Helicopter.
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 They use helium and propellers. There you go.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
It's for those of us with hot air.
The humidity of it all.
Pretty much covers the room there. No.
It does.
Those of us with hot air. Joke there. Very small joke, but a joke nonetheless.
By the way, guys, I also posted another of the sketches. It was the most technical sketch of the four that we did. It came out pretty good. I'm very pleased with it.
Well, shame on you.
While the broadcast was going on, I had two things going on. I've got you guys on the horn here, but I've also got internet stuff going on. And I was checking because stuff was going on, and I was at like 13%, 16% packet loss here, which is just failure. And then I had to get onto the cell phone while you guys were still on the other on this line and talk with internet service provider, technical support, and just I'm so frustrated.
Yeah, you know what? If they just put some new lines in or a new fuse box or something,
they just did.
And Mama's got a fuse box she wears on her chest. No, different song.
Mama got a fuse box. Yes.
I think it was a squeeze box.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In the last 5 to 10 seconds, I've got 6 timeouts, 7 timeouts.
Behave yourself and you won't have to go in timeout. Oh.
Yeah, I wish that was what it was, but no. And they just shunted the node, meaning that they took and there were 250 devices on my Cox network on the pole, and they just cut that to 125, and then they go, okay, now it's all better. And it's like, well, maybe it's all better for those other 125, but I'm still suffering here. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I just,
well, you have a different knee port than most of the other people.
I hope they're giving you a break on the bill. I mean, come on.
That's a call I'm going to make on Monday going, I'm sorry.
They're not doing as agreed.
Yeah, no, they credited me a month ago for a full month's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll get that again, but it's not the money. I want the freaking service.
Right,
hard to say that. It's like, yes, you owe me the money because I'm not getting the service, but I want the service, not the money. So, you know,
so
can you please work
it
so I pay you, you give me the service? Because they're destroying my reputation on the internet because I can't.
I was hoping to have a hand in that a little bit.
Well, you know, you guys are doing what you can, you know, so.
Yeah.
But this is so bad. It shouldn't be. They just fixed it, and I'm seeing so much data loss. I'm like, what am I paying for? So, I don't know. And they should have called me back already, and nothing. Quiet. I gave him. I hate to give out my.
I know. I'm having a front door issue. Over a year ago, we had a front door installed. When they install it here, the frame is cracked, and some of the glass. It had like this glass panel next to it because it's like the aperture is wider than a door. You know how you have that opaque glass in there next to it.
Right.
So we'll have to get
you
another one. So they set everything up. They were supposed to come a couple of weeks ago. So I set up to have a day off so there's not hammering and pounding while I'm working on the phone.
Uh-huh.
Right. Take the day off. Effers call the day before, and they're like, the door's broke. We can't put it in. Oh, so broke door number two.
Yeah,
and then they didn't resolve anything, and now it's like, well, at this point, I don't know what to do. I'm ready to say, and we paid them for like half of it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, doors are expensive. Do you have any idea?
I replaced the doors here. Yeah.
I'm ready
everything
to
is,
just
we're
start
just having
like
our
telling
group.
My story
we're just having
on
our group.
Facebook page, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we're about to get our garage sited and have one window put in, and it's just unbelievable. Part of it is the supplies cost so much anymore.
Right.
Yeah, that's the story they're telling. But there's
that
probably
is the story they're telling you.
Well, my doors, I don't know if it's a cheaper route. I got steel core doors, Texan as well as, you know, a door. And, I mean, it has an exterior to it that's wood, but interior is steel. I got front door, back door. I got a new sliding glass. I got all the windows replaced on the house. It's crazy expensive.
Yeah.
Crazy expensive. And
this is officially our one project this year, that's for sure.
Home Improvement with Erie House Radio.
There you go. Home Improvement, an internet service provider.
The woes of Home Improvement.
You'll wonder where the dollars went. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
It hurts, actually.
Yeah, I'm gonna ignore all the things that are wrong in the world and dive into a world of comic book reading. I love
there
the
you
art
go.
And I love the stories, so you know.
Now, see, I like
you
that
got,
approach.
You always said I was a bright guy in dark costume, but you know, I do what I can to stay positive.
I'm positive. You're crazy.
Say again? Yeah.
I'm positive you crazy.
Well, that too.
That's a good thing.
Well, the
that's,
difference
that's,
between
that's
my crazy and your crazy is I've got papers. You know, I don't know if you do, but you know, I've got documentation, darn it.
Sometimes I use the papers, but usually I go outside.
Yeah,
yeah,
well,
me too.
You know, you're out with your hooting dog, so sure. You know.
Yeah. He hasn't been
surprised
yet.
Surprised he hasn't hooted. Did his hoot break? Did you break his hooter?
No, I. We're getting our communication better. You know what I mean? He's a herding dog, so he starts herding me to the door instead of hooting.
Well, just leave the goat alone.
He's a big ape, man. I mean, he can herd you. He can herd a human being. Just
yeah.
Say a word of a human being.
My grandparents years ago had a Sheltie, which is a miniature collie, right?
Yeah.
That dog was so hyper, it was crazy.
I was going to say, that's the hyper cousin. And I have found that the bigger the dog is, the more chill they are. The more the more likely they're to be laid back. Of course, there's exceptions to every rule. But it seems like your smaller dogs are like the ankle biters, hyper.
Right. I typically lend towards a larger dog.
Yeah.
They're just more compatible.
I
the
like
only
them,
thing
yeah.
about a larger dog is you have to train a larger dog because they're larger. They, you know, they're more, they can be more difficult. They're not trained. They'll pull your arm out of socket if you take them for a walk.
That's this one is but the wife is having a hard time, so we've got to.
What do
they call
it?
A gentle something or other. It has an additional strap. It's almost like the rein on a horse.
How did I? I had.
and it's supposed to be a gentle way to lead them by their nose, where they can't use their weight against
right,
you.
Right. There's that, but you can also, if you get a body harness, you hook it in front of their chest, and it turns them. But also, you should never let the dog move past your knee when you walk.
Yeah.
Never supposed to go beyond your knee. If they're going beyond your knee, they are indeed hurting you.
Yes.
And they're leading you. And it has to be a thing of – I don't find it to be a thing of control, but there is some control in that. They
well,
have to
you
know
have
you're
to,
the
you
leader.
You have to have control for their safety. You know what I mean?
Right,
on the street.
Exactly.
I'm teaching
exactly.
him to sit down at intersections before we cross the street.
Right.
I mean, if he ever breaks away, that might save his life. You never know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to sit here.
My two commands were slow and stop. And slow is we're coming up to an intersection. Stop is we're at the intersection. And they would. They would stop. And they would listen. They knew what those commands meant. But the other thing was never let them get in front of you. Because it tires you out if they do. But once they figure that out, walking is a pleasure.
Yeah, we're teaching him heel, you know, to stay at our side on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing
pretty
good.
After heel is steel, and that's
he's,
fun, too.
He's still young where, like, he goes a little nutty, but after you get going on a walk, then he's like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to walk next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can even put slack on the leash, and he won't jump ahead, you know. But he's getting
right.
there for a young fella.
For a young fella.
For a young fella.
Daggity
God, they have the most soulful eyes, these dogs. Jeez.
Yeah, almost all dogs do.
And his
that's
eyes look smaller than, like, Lassie. She almost looks like she has these big, bulbous eyes compared to him.
Right. Yes, I've noticed that. Very, yeah.
She had the big brown
eyes. I don't know if
that's
fur or what that is. But.
Maybe he just looks smaller because they're blue and they look like he has eyeliner around his eyes. Because they're
right.
Deep-set eyes with, like, darker around. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they just look smaller, but.
My,
it
my
seems
heart
like collies are fluffier now than they used to be.
Yeah. My heart
they're
really
fluffier,
wants to
not,
a dog.
So they're fluffy, yeah. Not stuffy, huh?
Well, no, like their mane is like poofier.
Yes. My heart really wants a dog again, but I can't get one until I move, and I can't find a house, so I can't move, and if I move, I get a new internet service provider. All things would change, and I can't find a house.
Well, if you do, I hope it's soon, because they keep saying interest rates are going up. You want to not take too bad of a beating.
Yeah, it's a thing of like, it'd be good for me, because it's a seller's market. And then it's soon been the other way around.
It's
going to
be a buyer's market pretty soon, yeah.
Yeah, that. And so I don't know. I'm stuck because I'm going to be a seller and a buyer at the same time. So, you know.
You win some, you lose some.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's not always that funny.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy. Burr, 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 burr. So I am... I'm still running test over here, ping test. Ping, ping, ping.
Ping, ping, ping,
ping. Yeah. I have to document this stuff. This is when I call in, I go, well, it's not working. They go, what's wrong? It's like, oh, well, I can't tell you. So I have to document it.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? I mean, the latency's not bad, but this data loss at 6%, that's not good. That might as well be 100%. If you're trying to do something live, 6%, that means you tune. If you were watching a television program and it stopped and then restarted, but when it restarted, you lost data. You're how do I follow this? You can't, you know. So
yeah,
so frustrating. And I'm paying. So
you're over my head. I don't know how any of this stuff works.
I know it sounds silly, but I went to college for it.
Yeah,
at
you
one
mentioned.
Point.
Yep.
Yeah, and so it's yeah. I don't know. I remember
I remember when I was working with my former partner and we were kind of getting into all these horror hosts collaborating. And I came up with a great idea, I thought. It'd be fun to do something called Host Fellas and spoof the Goodfellas movie with a horror host as the principal characters.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been fun.
So the horror host would be Italian?
No, they would be themselves, but playing the character roles of Goodfellas. I love spoofing movies. Like, a lot of my skits were spoofs from segments of movies.
Right.
Yeah.
I ran into this, Dale. This is a curiosity. I ran into this, that the website that I use to broadcast, they're sending me emails saying, hey, this is copywritten music. So what I can do is I can go and find novelty musics, not as popular as the Monster Mash and Purple People Eater, but some of the lesser ones that are not going to show up in that algorithm, use them, and then I can create my own video aspects for these and do it that way, and that way I won't get flagged for that. I really would prefer if they would just call me. It's like free advertising. I don't know why so against this. I'm not making money on
it. But they are, or trying
because
to.
Because they're not making any money on it either, that's why.
Right, but it's like free advertising.
It's on YouTube,
so
they can make money from it. You know?
Sometimes they think, I don't know. There's a lot to that, and only the lawyers know for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not – I don't think I'm stealing from them. I'm giving them a free platform. People that may have never seen this music before are seeing it going, ooh, let me go find it and go buy media that has their stuff on it. Okay, there you go. I'm a jump off. But I don't know why it would be so negative. But
you know what I did for these skits? For the first time, even though it's old big band music and things like that, what I did is I changed it by 6%, and so far nothing's been flagged.
You sped it up or slowed it down or both?
I sped it up by 6%. And that messes up their marking of their algorithm.
But
if you ever had your algorithm
music video that speeded
up, how painful that can be.
Okay, Dale. But, Tim Ahern just
confirmed.
Said yes for the 20th.
Oh darn it! We didn't. We didn't talk about the guest.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get to that. We got a little bit of time.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I won't be with you. I'm sorry, but probably not. Although I'm not doing the makeup, I'm probably going to be really. Oh my gosh, I am seeing so many drop-offs. It's just, I'm seeing test results as we talk, and I'm like, what is going on?
I see my email whenever you come on, and I know you're just testing out, you know, your signal.
Yes.
There.
Yeah, just testing. Tried it today. If I tried it right now, I would get more unhappy. Wow. If they just fixed it, why is it still broken?
Yeah.
And so I called in Wednesday with a complete outage, and I talked to a guy for an hour. They couldn't find any of the notes on that. And I'm like, what do you mean you couldn't find the notes? I talked with a guy for an hour. So then they were supposed to do their techno surgery yesterday. I saw the guys out on the street because I had to go to the VA and do an MRI. And I was in there for a while. So I saw them. They were right there. I called in today and said, yeah, you guys never called me or contacted me about this. And they couldn't find any data that they even did it. And I'm like, what? Wait, what kind of company are you? My gosh. Oh. So, yeah, I'm just banging my head against a brick wall. I don't know.
I don't know.
As a broadcaster, Dale, if you had this going on where you really depend on your internet service provider to provide the uplink for your data.
Oh, yeah. It'd be frustrating as hell.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And I'm a one-man band, sort of, and this is just so frustrating.
Nope.
I'm my own internet technician. I'm the IT guy for me. And I'm sitting here going, I'm doing everything I can. Anyway. I'm glad I don't drink alcohol because, man, I would have pushed one back tonight.
Yeah,
oh, buddy.
Here you go. Knock back a few.
Yeah, tea is better. Tea and coffee is much better than the other direction.
Oh,
I wouldn't say
that. But...
What? Oh, you think I should start drinking? Is that it?
No. Yes. No, well, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Drano.
Sometimes beer is
Drano.
The answer. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Drinking Drano?
No, don't drink.
I only drink Comet. That's how.
Don't you? Comet. It makes your mouth so.
Comet. It makes you vomit. Yeah.
Comet.
Get some Comet vomit today.
Hey.
I remember that. Wow, that goes back. Comet.
That's okay. We
it's
do too.
Story.
So.
Does it make your mouth turn green or your tongue? I forget how that went.
Yeah, I have one of those. I'm sure you
one
can change it.
It makes you vomit. So go out and get some Comet and vomit today. Yay!
Hey.
Why didn't one of these wonderful bands do that? I would love to have a little jingle for Comet that does that. That would
know.
Be like a Dr. Demento nugget, you know?
Here, speaking of which, you want an obscure song for... For your show. Here you go.
Oh, yeah. I tell you something. You may not understand.
I have that. I have the music video.
A thirsty vampire. I want to bite your head.
And you.
I want to bite your head. I want to bite your
I have that as a music video with a vampire hand puppet. It's hilarious.
Oh, my God. That is great.
I have that. And it's that song with a vampire hand puppet, and someone has done all kinds of CGI to the background and everything, so
yeah.
There's bats flying in and out and all kinds of stuff.
Maybe we should revisit some of our old songs and do a video to them. That'd be hilarious.
I did one. I can't remember the name of. I'll send it to you guys, and you can look at it on the what's it called, Dave? Dropbox.
The Dropbox.
That I edited, and I want to edit more of them, more images into it. But I found this one. And when I found it, someone had edited a video content onto it, sort of, but they were distasteful.
Oh.
Scantily clad women and the such. So I couldn't. So I modified it. I edited it visually. So instead, it's a record album, and you know the not the 78s, but the 45s, I think, are the smaller ones, and they have a big hole in the center. And it was about a vampire, and so I took all these different vampires and I pasted their image in the center hole. So every time it would say I'm a vampire, it would show up this whole record label, and it was kind of neat.
Hold on, Big Finish.
I want to play your hand.
Sure. I love that. Sure.
Sure. I want to bite your hand.
Sure.
That was a great parody.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Almost as good as our stuff.
Do you know who the artist was that did that cover or that parody?
No.
No.
This particular one?
Yeah.
I can look it up.
Okay. Yeah.
If my sound file is labeled correctly.
Because I don't know.
Dave, how many zero hours have we played so far?
Probably only two or three.
I've got I have five of them. Is that
yeah,
all there is?
Yeah, those five that I gave you are all ones with William Shatner. It was for your wife.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait,
trying to get her to listen to them. She's got this hang-up about radio. I don't know.
William Shatner on radio?
Yeah, on Zero Hour.
Yeah, on Rod Serling's Zero Hour. He made a week of appearances.
Oh.
Five different stories.
Was he hurting for money? What was going on?
No, it was just we must have had a.
Well, he was young
to
just
start
now,
for a week.
If you figure back then.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Well, that's like everybody
that
made the circuit for CBS Radio
Mystery.
Yeah,
he wasn't big
wheel. It was kind of like the Batman show.
Yeah.
Right.
He wasn't Big Wheel Captain Kirk yet. So.
Yeah, that was like 74.
It was
after Kirk.
Oh, it was after.
He was looking for work.
That's why I said.
Well, then, yeah.
He was looking for work in all the wrong places. Yeah, he was looking for work in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
Before the movies.
Yeah.
All right. Got it. The things I learned. Well, it wouldn't do, because if we can do a couple of those when we do, we got to have a Rod Serling celebration soon, don't we? Isn't that coming up?
Yeah, I got to get a hold of. I don't know why I can't think of it. I tell you what, my brain is just gone. Mark Dwidziak.
Dwidziak, yeah.
Get him back on.
Welcome to my world, Dave.
I'm lucky. I remember my own name
for a long time, Gar. I have been. Yeah, that's why I have to wear monogram pajamas, so if I wake up in the middle of the night, I know who I am, you know.
You know who you are, that's right.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
It's bad if you have a split personality and they both forget.
Well, that's why you have two sets of jammies.
And if I put on the wife's jammies, I'm really in trouble.
Well, I would hope they don't fit
don't
directly
know.
For one, but...
Mine's
well, that's
nice
one of the problems, yes.
The cottony.
That's one of the problems.
I bet.
Hey, Dale, I have to tell you that clip you took from 20,000... Nightmare 20,000 Feet was absolutely fabulous, that picture you made.
I was looking in the window.
Yeah, I had to laminate that one. I'm sorry. I had to laminate
I
that
forgot.
One.
That's okay.
That's in my collection.
I made a comment on that. I don't remember what it was.
That was a fun one to make. And
oh, my God. That was so – I saw that. Oh, that is so cool. About
that is so us, too. And he's looking up.
It is so us.
I wanted to get CW in there, too. I did. But it just, it wasn't working with the, it, and I don't have like a picture of her. You know, it's
yeah.
cartoony, arty, and it just kind of didn't go.
Well, people know who we are
because
we've been on.
Evil because she's,
we've been on the tube, so people know who we are, but she is extremely private. She's extremely private.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
We should respect that. That's cool. It's all good.
We do, well, we do.
We're lucky she comes around.
Oh, yeah.
And helps us out.
CW.
Has fun with us.
Who?
CW.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's a person.
Always fun to have people that help.
Yep. That it
so is. I found this thing. I've got Dracula's Drac the Knife. Hot Blood, Soul Dracula, 1977.
Mm-hmm.
John Zacherly, Dinner with Drac.
Oh, that's
Archie
good stuff.
Archie King, he's a vampire. Oh, John Zacherly, see, some of these horror hosts went into this novelty
mm-hmm.
horror genre in music.
Yep.
It's just fantastic. Elvira even did it.
Oh, yeah.
Elvira's
yeah.
got like 3 or 4 albums to her name.
Well, some of them are collections of you know, old rare. I used to have a good one I used in the bars, and it was so funny because they had sound bites of her like that were kind of risque. Like one, she goes, "Okay, that's the end of side one. Come on and turn me over."
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
that
I love a lot of double entendre going on there.
Yeah.
So she's going to be Lily Munster. She's going to be Lily Munster in the new Munsters, huh?
No, Rob Zombie's wife is. Rob Zombie's wife is.
Oh.
Oh, I thought she was going to be in that.
She is. She's going to be Lily Munster. What's her name? Sherry Moon Zombie is going to be Lily Munster.
Who? Okay, I thought
not Elvira, right.
I thought Elvira was going to do that.
No.
And
Sherry Moon Zombie.
One of the pluses, but also one of the minuses concerning Elvira. Elvira has retired from the Boonscary farm. Understandably, she was in her heyday in the mid to late 80s. And
yes,
she has continued and been an amazing ambassador for horror host. Boy, blah, blah, it's a great thing. She, at any point in time, they even had a... the new Elvira thing, and that was what, 10 years ago? They were looking for a replacement, sort of. That didn't even take off, even though they had a winner. That didn't. So Elvira will be Elvira forever. However, there is, no pun intended, a shelf life.
Well, she got a lot better treatment than Mela Nurmi did, that's for sure, in life.
Who?
Vampira,
who?
Mela Nurmi.
Oh, well,
Tubi, there's a really good video about her and her life, and she had
She
had a very rough go of it after Vampira ended.
Right, she actually stabbed out against Elvira.
Yes,
and Elvira won, but at a huge cost.
Elvira
to herself,
had better lawyers,
but
yeah.
it was at a great financial cost to Elvira.
Well, sure.
And so that was not pretty. And that might have been a stain against Numi.
I know. Possibly. There was problems between the Ghoul and Son of Ghoul locally here, not on a national level.
Oh,
like those
yeah. You were telling me about that. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, it was not.
Yeah.
It was not a pleasant time for horror hosting.
but oddly, there's also some, like Ron Koch, the Svengoolie of now, actually got a nod from
Rich Kaz.
Rich Kaz.
Rich Kaz,
I forgot his name. Sorry. My apologies to Rich Koz. But he actually got a nod and said, sure, go ahead, continue, and all the best from Jerry G. Bishop, which was just awesome.
See, and that's the same thing. The ghoul got that from Ghoulardi.
Right.
The ghoul, Ron Swede, wanted to do a show, and he's like, yeah, I don't care, just change the name because the store owns Ghoulardi. And he said, well, I'll just call myself a ghoul. Okay, though.
Yeah.
Have fun with that.
And
he was something of a pastiche of Ghoulardi, but he wasn't chill and laid back like Ghoulardi. He was
Ghoulardi on steroids, man.
Yeah, on amphetamines, absolutely.
Yeah, on amphetamines, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the original Ghoulardi, that wasn't Ernie Anderson, was it?
Yes, it was.
That was Ernie Anderson, yes.
Okay. He was beatnik chilled out. I was just like, wow. And your friend Ron took
his
place?
Well, I would call him my friend, but associate, yeah.
Associate.
It's not like we hung out together.
and he was blowing things up. Was Ernie Anderson blowing things up?
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the things that he, quote-unquote, borrowed, other than the look and the some of the same sound bites, some of the same music. But Ron started getting into punk and other stuff. He was more a punk.
Yeah.
That would be a good description, I think, a punk version of Ghoulardi.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
That's a fairly apt description.
I don't know when I am going to actually retire from this. Well, Cox might put me out of business just being them. I don't know. It's just, but
those dirty.
If I actually choose to retire, I think I'm just going to retire the mantle, and I trust nobody picks it up. And when it's gone, it's gone. And that's okay. I'm not a flash in the pan, but
now let's not be discouraged here.
Discouraged? Who, me?
Yeah.
No,
he just doesn't want to hand the torch down to someone else.
Oh,
yeah.
Unless, of course, the torch is lit. Gar
the Ghoul is going to be Gar the Ghoul. There'll be a period at the end, and you know, life will go on. There are a lot more characters people could go invent, other than what I've tried to do.
That's why I tried to tell people, when we were at Ghoulardi Fest and stuff, Dale, and kids say, I'm sorry, the guy on side.
Sir Graves Gastly? I don't know.
No. The guy that's on MeTV. I don't know what.
Svengoolie.
I said, yeah, do it, but be yourself. Make yourself part of it. Don't try to just be him. Try to turn it into something that you would be.
Yeah.
To the best of my knowledge,
my show is a lot like Big Chuck's show, but it isn't Big Chuck's show. You know
exactly. I can't remember.
Oh no, it's definitely Dave.
Dave, I can't remember. Did I send you a rubber chicken?
No, I don't have a rubber chicken.
Is that legal?
Why do you not have a rubber chicken? What the heck? Dale, you have one, right?
I came into it after Dale did. I do have the Garzoo, and I have the Horrible Horror Fan Club membership, and...
and a drawing.
Something else.
Yeah.
But
a drawing, I think.
Yeah,
a cartoon.
Yes. A cartoon.
Yeah.
Gene Moss.
Well, robots, too.
Gene Moss. I want to bite your hand.
Who's Gene Mott? Who's that?
I want to bite your hand.
Oh, that was Gene Mott. Oh, okay. Let me document.
That was from a week ago. That was from last week.
Okay.
Seemingly.
Exotica. It's a genre. Check it out. Gene, M-O-T-T, Mott.
Gene M-O-S-S, Moss, like the grows.
Oh, M-O-S-S. I can't hear. Okay. Gene, G-E-N-E?
G-E-N-E. M-O-S-S.
G-E-N-E, M-O-S-S.
I want to bite your hand. Sure.
I want to bite your hand. So anywho, this is crazy. I never noticed this. Okay, I never watched Rich Kaz. I never watched the original Svengoolie. I somehow, and I don't know why, but I got Rubber Chickens back in 2007 or something. And
yeah.
And I was like, I know what I'll do. I choked the chicken on air, so you got a pre-choked rubber chicken. Oh, choked the chicken. Juvenile joke. And then I signed the leg, and I made the packaging, and I put it all together, and I sent that out. Absolutely disjoint from any previous knowledge of the chicken throwing that they were doing with Svengoolie 1 or 2. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, great. Well, that's hilarious. But
before I met
disjoint.
You, it was not your rubber chicken, but I destroyed a rubber chicken on my shows.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah. I was hoping that my rubber chicken didn't get a firecracker in the mouth or whatever.
No, that wasn't your chicken. That was before I met you.
Right.
First
exactly.
Got injured. My son and I were doing a Monty Python spoof about the dead parrot. Instead, ours was a dead chicken.
Oh,
I'm talking
dead
about
chicken.
The dead
okay.
parrot. And I. It was either me or Michael kept slamming the chicken on the table, and well, his neck ripped a little.
Oh.
So it was right around then that LeBron James left Cleveland, and I did a little spoof on sending him out in a manner befitting my mentor by blowing his head off with a firecracker. It's fun.
Well, there you go.
Painted number 24 right on that chicken's, or 23 rather, right on the chicken's chest.
As a veteran, I stay away from explosions. That's just that a lot of veterans do.
Oh, I love the boom booms. I do love the boom booms.
Oh, I don't even know if I liked them. I think if I knew that they were going to happen, I enjoyed them as a youth. But as I got older,
not so much. Yeah,
the boom booms were actually people, you know, blowing up with them. Then I kind of lost my interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. The military does stuff to you. That's all I can say. Changes
I thought you
your
were
outlook
in
a little bit.
You were not in peacetime?
No, I was in back when the Ayatollah Khomeini was doing stuff. So not actually, I don't know when the U.S. has actually known absolute peace. you know,
there's
always something going
here and
on.
There.
Yeah, intermittently, but. If I go back and document my times alive, good luck trying to find a peacetime. It's weird,
yeah.
But it's
well,
there.
If not, we've always had our hands in something, some other country's business.
Exactly, exactly.
Might not always
it's
be a good idea.
It's unfortunate, but yeah. Oh, did I screw that up? Let's see if it does
what
it. I did it. Okay, thank you. I don't know. It's a weird world.
Yes, it is.
Kind of like those, yeah, I don't, yeah, no easy answers. You know. I mean, right now, my biggest struggles are a little bit with health and my internet service provider and creating content. And yet, on the other side of the globe, you know, Russia is doing something with other people. You know,
yep.
It's always something going on.
Always.
Late
it's like my mother always said. It's always if it's not one thing, it's another. It's always something.
It's always something.
Yep. What was that?
Like
Rosanna Dana.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Don't we miss her?
Yes.
Never mind.
She was wonderful. She was so wonderful.
What a talented married couple, the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there something called The Haunted Honeymoon that they were both in?
Yeah, that was a movie. That was a movie, yeah.
Yeah. I have to go back and revisit that because my memory is that it was supposed to be a comedy, but it's very difficult comedy.
Yes, it was a comedy, yeah.
Yep. Difficult comedy. I don't know if that's the right term, but some comedy will make you laugh really hard, and some you might grin and not laugh as hard.
Yep.
Almost forced comedy is not good, you know?
You can tell when it's forced.
Right.
Yeah.
Like History of World Part 7, probably going to be forced.
yeah,
I don't know.
Bit. That would be a little bit forced, yeah.
I don't know, but yeah.
Use the force.
Well, guys, I'm going to wrap it up. I have to go call these people again. and go, what are you doing? What are you not doing?
Are they awake at night to take your call?
As I understand it, in the business community, business runs 24/7. Interest is made 24/7, 7 days a week, doesn't stop. Interest is compounded. Money is made. Businesses don't go to sleep. And neither should these guys.
What?
Communicate.
What?
Yeah, what? Huh? What? What? Huh?
Who's
Where's
asleep?
That
what?
Goat? Parma? We really need some Parma.
All right, man. It's time to bring the one and only... What happened here?
This is another one for Gar's show. It's a very, very good song. Your listeners will appreciate it. Or your viewers.
It's Halloween.
Oh, did it get any better than that? Yeah, all right. I can't take any more.
I hope so.
I like the Parma bit better, the polka thing. Yeah, like, but yeah.
Slightly better.
We understand this to be novelty, but are they a horror genre novelty? To describe it?
I would say
horrible.
I would say it's
horrible,
a novelty song to be sure, but it's certainly a Halloween novelty song.
It's a novelty song in the horror genre centric, I guess.
Yes.
So.
Made to punish people.
Right. And seriously, Dale, if you get the opportunity to, and I know you're a busy guy, but if you were to check out and combine a search parameter with Betty Page and Exotica, you'll run across at least two, maybe three albums that I don't understand what the tie is with her to this, but there are three albums that were put out. I don't know if they were put
because
out
because if you put her on the album cover, it's going to sell.
Yeah, it was on the. She's on the album
cover.
That's
a tie-in.
Yeah, and you can find Exotica if you and it wasn't what I never combined the two together. I mean, there is Cy Zentner put out a musical album about burlesque, and it was called The Stripper, I believe, and so you would find that Cy Zentner, Cy, and Zentner, Zentner, put out some in the 1950s or 60s. It's odd that I remember these things, but they're part of my own personal catalog of music, and it's called Cy Zentner The Stripper, and it's out there. And that's a whole, that is absolutely what you were talking about, the burlesque tie-in. The Exotica, not so much.
Okay.
And you'll find Les Baxter. I don't know if you're familiar with him. Les Baxter, there's another guy. Oh, these are like the foundations of it. David Rose?
Yeah, that's The Stripper.
David Rose wrote The Stripper,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Les Baxter is a...
good night.
There we go. Love that guy.
Goulardi.
Goulardi. Les Baxter did a whole bunch of stuff. He was responsible for a lot of television movie scoring. American music arranger, yeah. First swing, he did a lot of swing, but also easy listening called Exotica. And just a composer, musician guy. Just Les Baxter, there's all kinds of great stuff on it. Are you familiar with the Rhino Records lounge suite, Dale?
Yeah.
Not that particular thing, but Rhino Records, I know a little bit.
Oh my gosh, it's huge. The Rhino Record Lounge series, it's enormous. I got it and I just fell apart. I was just blown away by all the stuff that they have. It's such a slice of different musics. I'm really excited about it.
Cool.
But,
gentlemen,
yeah, I don't know if you
I got to call it one night.
All right, sir.
Okay. Better than calling it two nights. Hey, come time.
I'll call it three nights.
Yep. The heads of the three spotlights and bring in Mr. James Durante to close out the show.
All right.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the day, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.